My name is Honorable Member of Parliament, to the SABC Board and the general public as well. My name is Timingo Sengoma, and I'm the Committee Secretary for the Portfolio Committee on Communication. My role here is to conduct the election of the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee of Communication. The procedure that will be followed is as follows. I will call for a nomination and a seconder from the floor. If there is only one nomination, then the person so nominated will be declared chairperson. If there is more than one nomination, then we'll go on the vote, will be done by the show of hands, and then the person with the majority number of votes will be declared chairperson. And now I'll proceed to call for nomination for the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Communications. Are there any nominations? I recognize Honorable Morutua.
Good morning, acting chair. I humbly nominate the name of Eric Colwell.
Ms. Marutua is nominated. Mr. Colwell, are there any seconders? Ms. Ndlazi is a seconder. Are there any objections? There are no objections. Ms. Marutua has nominated Mr. Kolwane and was seconded by Ms. Ndlazi. Are there any further nominations? I hereby declare Mr. Kolwane the chairperson of the Committee on Communications, so you can move forward and come take your seat.
Thank you, Acting Chairperson. As Honorable Murot has indicated, members, I will think that we must just try to go straight to the business of the day. But my appreciation to my nomination or appointment as the chairperson and the support which I've received from yourself, different parties of this committee, and the member of the industry and the players in the industry for broadcasting and the ICT at large. Today we are meeting to receive reports from the SABC. We recall that we had a meeting which we could not finalize the discussion because of information which was not available at that particular time, around the 20th of October this year. The issues which were for discussion or which as a committee we recommend that the SABC should come back and report at was the issue around the schedule for their meeting, the turnaround strategy, the policy of retention bonuses for staff members, which we indicated that it need to be reviewed, the acting group CEO or the board should provide the committee with the subsidiary companies associated with SABC, the report or written report around progress which has been made around the Auditor General's investigation into alleged irregularities within the corporation. It was the board to come and report about the salary and increases and benefits for the senior managers and middle management around the period of 2007 until to date. The other issue which is supposed to be presented is the full report in terms of the disciplinary cases and the reason why action were not taken in respect of those cases, in particular those cases which appear to the annual report 2009-2010. Furthermore, it was the report which they must table before the committee around the functionality of the board. The other matter which was outstanding was the issue of the appointment of the head of news, which we're supposed to deal with. So in general, those are the issues which we are here for today, which we hope the board will be able to take us through around those particular matters. But I must say, before I could give the SABC board chair, Dr. Nguban, to lead the discussions or to introduce this team, I would like to indicate that you are more welcome, SABC board, to this meeting today, including your executive members or your support staff which you are having here today. We appreciate that you are still here and you are here today to be able to come and account for your acts and omissions on your day-to-day operations as a board. But before I hand it over to Dr. Nguban, I just want to indicate that we are meeting today where there are a lot of or quite of development within the broadcasting space or industry. I must say that whilst we will be receiving the report from the SABC, but we must also acknowledge that a week ago, SABC has managed to win 2 awards, which was presented to the corporation. I think as much as we got issues for SABC to account, but we must also acknowledge their achievement, which is very important that whilst you are having your challenges and other things, but you still be able to perform your duties in such a way that other people can acknowledge the good work which you are doing as a corporation. We must also welcome broadly the withdrawal of the public service broadcasting discussion document by the Minister of Communication, which we think that it gives the industry and ourselves a space to engage on the nature and the type and the structure and the funding model of the public broadcaster which we might want to have as a country moving forward and so on. So those are positive developments within the sector itself. But I won't waste much time because you see, Honorable Murut, she indicated to me that she has nominated me. She might also reconsider if I behave otherwise. So I don't want to do that. Dr. Nguban, you can take us through around the issue.
Thank you, Chairperson. Congratulations on your appointment. We look forward to very productive interactions and relationships with your portfolio committee and generally with Parliament. I must just apologize, of course, that 2 of our board members are not well, so they might have to leave earlier. They came here because they wanted to show respect and commitment to working with the portfolio committee and with you, sir. Mr. Motsepe is quite sick, and Mr. Golding has also got to rush off, you know, because of health issues. So I will, you know, ask for your acceptance of this unfortunate situation. And, of course, they are very hardworking members of the board. Chairperson, your comments about the awards is most heartening because the staff of the SABC and the board members have to be commended for carrying on doing their best, producing an excellent service under very severe constraints of the problems we have had in the board, but as well as constraints in terms of capacity. Some of these gentlemen have got to do 3 jobs, the gentlemen and ladies have got to do 3 jobs in addition to their normal duties because of the many acting positions and the many vacancies. Following the meeting with the portfolio committee, and Communications on 20th October 2010. The points that we are responding to are those that we have read out just now. In terms of schedule of quarterly board meetings, I would like to refer the Portfolio Committee to page 5 of the document that was submitted. In terms of the turnaround strategy for SABC, our acting GCO will present a top line on this. In terms of the review policy of retention bonuses for staff, I would like to refer the committee to page 6 to 10. In terms of feedback on activities of all subsidiary companies, I would like to refer to page 12 of the document. In terms of progress of on Auditor General's investigations, there is a comprehensive report that Mr. Cedric Gina will present to the Portfolio Committee. In terms of the report of on salary increases and benefits from 2007 to date, we'd like to refer to page 16 to 18 of the document. In terms of the report on disciplinary cases in the AG's comprehensive report, Mr. Cedric Gina will deal with this matter. In terms of the performance report for the current year, including functionality of the board, Mr. Cedric Gina will report on this. Each subcommittee has reported back as to their performance for the current year. All the activities to date have timelines and deadlines. This is illustrated in the roadmap of the turnaround strategy, which the acting GCO will present. All the activities of the board have been articulated and encapsulated into the turnaround strategy that will be dealt with by our acting GCO. We had a meeting with the shareholder beginning of this month, and the shareholder committed himself, and the board also committed, as a board we committed ourselves to implementing good governance in the organization and also working very closely with the group management of our organization. We committed ourselves to put the past behind us and to look forward. And I must say, we are working extremely well. The shareholder is committed to actually help us provide counseling. He will chair some of the sessions where we'll talk about what has happened in the past, the things that were contained in the reports to this Honorable House, the Honorable Portfolio Committee. And we're going to work through these things in such a way that we find each other, that we find justice and fairness. And I'm hoping that my colleagues are going to embrace this willingness by the shareholder to interact with us. He has also offered that, you know, as we unfold our schedule of meetings, we will interact almost after every quarterly meeting to receive an up-to-date report on where the corporation is going. So from that point of view, there's real commitment from all of us to work at it, to make this work. We are particularly buoyed by the fact that the net profit before tax for the year to date ending 30th October 2010 is 132 million rand, compared to the loss of 269 million rand at the same time last year. We think this is a very good pointer to the recovery that is being made, to making the SABC's liquidity position and the going concern to be undoubted. We hope to build on this with closer working relationship with EXCO. The salespeople have been doing an excellent job. The audience services people have been doing an excellent job. We need to support them. We need to strengthen them. So with these few words, Chairperson, I'm saying we have hope that this nascent recovery is going to bloom into a wonderful flower that you can be proud of. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Gubat. I'm not sure we'll be left in terms of how you allocate it of the people to make the presentation.
Well, the turnaround strategy for SABC will be presented by the acting CEO.
Thank you, Chairperson of the Committee. Thank you, Chair. This is a high-level summary of the turnaround plan. There is a comprehensive and rather detailed plan that supports this document. We've tried to keep this at a very high level to enable us to understand exactly what the roadmap is for the recovery. And it is about, first and foremost, driving operational efficiency within the organization. And just to recap on the challenges, there are a lot of constraints placed by the government guarantee and the associated requirements on the SABC that stem from the lack of governance and internal controls, increasing competition and proliferation of audiences, and the negative brand and reputation of the organization, as well as market pressures resulting from the weak economic climate, are the real drivers around why a turnaround is required for the SABC. And what we've tried to do here is just to give you some idea about how we've assembled the plan itself, where we have detailed that there are levers, increased revenue, cost reductions, and so it goes. There are seven of them. And then also the kinds of areas of change that we're putting forward, increased sales yield through revised pricing and creating schedule stability. That's a project that's ongoing at the SABC and is underpinning some of the sales recovery we've seen, where we've got a stable sales pricing strategy in place. We've intensified the debt collection both in TV licenses and in group sales and marketing in order to get the cash in. And then there are some future developments as well that we are busy developing. TV license annual increase and the broadcasting levy on all TV receiving stations, which are more towards the longer term of this plan, and we'll deal with that in the last slide. So the first step in putting the plan together was, in fact, the situational analysis established as a desired vision, and the board has restated that broadcasting for total citizen empowerment remained the core vision of the SABC until a more comprehensive review of strategy and the future state of public service broadcasting in South Africa is determined by the PSB Act, and the development of a turnaround strategy is phase one. In terms of phase two, we did indicate at the last meeting we had split the strategy development into an enterprise strategy, which is to create the overarching broad strategic framework within which the organization will operate, and breaking that down into operational segment plans driven by the enterprise strategy to make sure we've got alignment between television, radio, new media, group sales and marketing, support services, news, sports, technology, and the like. And those will be underpinned by the actual platforms of the SABC at the segmental level, such as SAFM, Metro, SABC One, and the public platforms that people consume media on. And the starting point for us is to say we have to put broadcasting back at the center of what drives the SABC, and no doubt you've heard a lot of comment around that on the SABC platforms and in staff presentations about how we need to put broadcasting back at the core of the organization, and consequently the operating model that is under discussion with the organization right now in consultation with all stakeholders, including organized labor, is talking about how we do that going forward. And some of the strategic repositioning for us is around the internal organizational digitization of the SABC, so what are the systems, processes, digital library, ensuring ubiquitous distribution, platform neutrality, so what is our satellite strategy, what is our low-power transmitter strategy, establishing a favorable regulatory framework, where we're talking about having a separate editorial policy and regulatory affairs unit which would guide the development of the editorial policy in the SABC, including the public outreach program in the course of the next year, where we take public feedback on the kind of content and editorial policies of the SABC. Perhaps the most obvious gap in our editorial policies right now is the issue of new social mass medias, such as Twitter and Facebook, where when these policies were developed, those were nascent technologies and nascent media types, and we hadn't really fully engaged with them previously. The plan is to actually fully develop our editorial strategies in that in the future. So two of the key projects underway in this phase two are the operating model and the structure review digitization of the SABC. So I'm sure Mr. Van Weg will be pleased to hear that we have now commenced the news digitization project and the new playout center for SABC 2. SABC news channel on satellite, probably in the first quarter of the next fiscal. So those projects are all ongoing, driving this enterprise strategy going forward. The biggest challenge we face, I think the Chair alluded to it in his opening remark, is in fact resourcing for the change. So where do we find not just the people with enough skills, but enough people with enough skills? And I think that for us, it's quite heartening when one goes to the organization. There are some very skilled people at the SABC, and perhaps our biggest challenge is not enough of them. So it isn't a question of saying there's no skill at the SABC, there's just not enough. And we implement an efficient organizational structure and design. That's not something that can happen overnight. It will take us some months and quite a bit of consultation to actually hammer out the details of how that works. But a key focus for the board is the appointments in strategic vacancies. And some action has occurred in that regard, in making sure we get the right candidates into the process of selection, so that hopefully by the end of the fiscal year, a strengthened group executive team is in place on a permanent basis. The next one is to, as we take it forward, driving a performance culture, establishing clear performance indicators aligned with the strategy, the government guarantee, shareholder compact, and MTF, and also the AGSA's requirements for smart performance reporting and contracting. That will roll out. We've been asked to come back to the shareholder towards the end of January with a comprehensive and clearly documented plan of how that has been done. Not a question of when it will be done, but that it has been done. So that piece of work is currently underway at the SABC. Following that, we go into the establishment and implementation of the delivery roadmap. What we try to do at the end of this presentation is just give you some idea about what that roadmap begins to look like without getting to the actual strategic detail behind it, because we are concerned that in dealing with those issues, we disclose some very sensitive competitor information. So it isn't that we don't have the plans, it is that we are trying to contain how much information is shared with our competition. A big part of the strategy is, in fact, the sixth big building block of the turnaround, which we've driven quite strongly by saying a digital SABC, which is to look at how broadband impacts across all of our platforms, and what are the strategic drivers for change, including what are the requirements of the public service broadcast in the developmental state. And that would encourage things, would look at things like the enactment of the PSB bill, the rollout of DTT, and the changes required in the SBC mandate as a consequence of the board policy review. So we are looking forward to working both with the shareholder and with this committee in repositioning public broadcasting in South Africa. And then finally, moving into a process of strategy assurance, which is really about making sure that the strategy that we've all agreed upon is implemented and is continuously improving, so that there is a very stable and successful SABC which is truly engaging in broadcasting for total citizen empowerment. Just some of the detail of this plan, Chair. We've broken it down into three large chunks. The first one is recovery, which takes us through to March next year, then a period of stabilization, and then moving into a period of sustainable growth. We've gone through all the initiatives in the organization. We've looked at them. We've reconsidered some of the new ones. We've taken some of them off the roadmap, and we've really come back to saying the ones marked here in red are the quick wins. So, you know, the issue about having a risk management framework in place for the organization by the end of the fiscal is clearly something that must be achieved. The projects that unlock our cash flow to reduce our debt burden, reviewing expenditure policies such as support of national interest, which requires a much broader engagement, looking at what kind of content we have on the SABC, particularly some of our PBS radio programming, and the question about how we fund news. Then also looking at the things about the implementation of many of the TV license strategies, looking also then at unlocking the cash flow on the balance sheet. So there's a very aggressive debt collection process going on in group sales and marketing right now, including relooking in terms of trade. To take that further, we've got things like the operating model, which is currently quite a hotly contested issue within the organization. But a turnaround means that you turn around audience performance, which means you look at the basis of your and the core operations of your business, which is the starting point for a turnaround, not the end point. So we are looking quite hard at how that model will work. Basically, some basic building blocks, television, radio, new media, working together across platforms to drive the synergies out. So we've made some changes around who heads up the PBS unit at the moment, and also supports mostly television, and that person is Bessie Tongwani, who I'm sure many of us don't know, but Bessie has successfully headed up the SABC2 channel for, I think, between 8 and 10 years. It has performed exceptionally well. It is the best model of public service broadcasting we have. So we have someone heading up that project who's deeply steeped in television and has got a very clear vision of local content and service delivery. And then we also asked Mr. Nkoko to look after our total radio portfolio. Now, Leslie is also somebody who's steeped in radio, having come through the marketing division of Metro and currently looking after 5 FM, Good Hope FM, and Metro, and which are all performing very well at the moment ahead of our growth in revenue and gaining audience share. So we look forward to his energy, enthusiasm, and youthful drive to begin to address some of the issues around PSB broadcasting on radio. Then you've got some procurement quick wins about taking out inefficiencies across the organization. We also need to look at how we ring-fence the commercial risk and get our commercial business working better. And that comes down to sales controls and sorting out a marketing business. And then, of course, we come back to schedule stability, which is about long-term content acquisition and making sure that the content meets the service needs of the organization. So, Chair, that is in a very broad nutshell, very broad brushstrokes, the roadmap for this turnaround. At each level of this plan, there are detailed implementation plans. There is a team at the SABC right now working on how we take that through into actual physical budgets department by department at the SABC, and we begin that review process on Monday. We will go through a comprehensive performance review of the business at the end of October and beginning of November. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Members, I'm not sure whether you would like to engage on a turnaround strategy before we go to the other issue, or we can get the other presentation and then we'll finish presentation. Go on to the next one.
For staff, page 6 to 10 of the document, and the acting CEO will take us through that.
Chair, we've set out in the document the current principles on the retention strategy, how it was derived and driven. We've looked at the implementation, and we've set out those principles for members, but essentially looking at how we keep care skills in the organization, that it's a separate contract. Once it ends, it ends. It's fully taxable, and it's non-entitlement, so we can stop those from time to time by giving one notice. And we are in the process of not renewing any of these retentions. So it's a maximum of 3 years. It costs us about 15 million rand a year, and that is reducing on an annual basis. And also the board has passed resolutions to actually withdraw it. So you can see on page 10 how many people are actually participating in the scheme right now, and how we believe we will reduce it by December by 2 million rand, by March by further 1.2 million. By next year, we will have reduced it by 13. There will only be about 4.2 million rand left on the existing scheme, provided those people are still employed at the SABC and we don't take other action in terms of our remuneration strategy going forward. So that's, Chair, how we will unwind the retention bonuses. No new retention contracts are issued, and no renewals for existing contracts are being made. Chair, that's the update on the retention bonuses. I think it has to just do with the feedback on the subsidiary companies. So if we just turn to Section 4, which is a report on the subsidiary companies, Chair, that's covered in page 12. And just simply some of the highlights are that we did cover this fully in note 9 of the financial statements. We have five subsidiary companies. The first one is a company called Auckland, the SABC Airwaves Travel, which deals with our internal travel arrangements. The reason it's in a subsidiary is because of the IATA license, where we actually issue physical airline tickets, and that needs to be in a separate company according to the IATA rules and regulations. The travel agency is run as a department of the SABC. The company is not a separate operating business in the sense that it doesn't have a business that it does. The business is done through the travel department of the SABC. It's fully integrated on SAP processes. All travel follows normal authorization within the organization. The subsidiary simply issues a ticket, and its revenue comes from the process of issuing a ticket, and also over, you'll notice that the income has declined over the years because the clawback that we used to get from some of the airlines. So if you bought 100 rands with airline tickets, you've got 5 rand back at the end of the year. If you've got 120, you've got 6 rand back. Those schemes offered by airlines have been declining over the last few years. So the only thing left in this company is, in fact, the issuing of airline tickets. It's run as a fully fledged department of the SABC, subject to all the oversight by the board, including regular internal audits, reviews, regular financial management and performance reviews. And that's the only other major statement. The other semi-operating subsidiary is Auckland Program Trade BV, which is incorporated in the Netherlands. This was a structure that was used to circumvent sanctions and is a rights holder in its own right, so it has certain rights that it owns. All its income is interest income because it has some cash, and its losses normally come from a translation of dollars into rands. So as the rand goes up, we see the losses, and as the rand goes the other way, we see gains. So that's the only two operating subsidiaries of the SBC. The other one is a company called AstraSat, which, as you can see from the report, is not traded. Skinnier Telematics, which is also not traded, and a company called Rugby Broadcasting Pty Limited, which is also not traded. So all of those have audited financial statements. We are in the process of either deregistering, liquidating, or discontinuing the operations of all of these subsidiaries. We are reviewing the continuation of APT, and the travel office will be unwound at some point in time when we can get IATA to consider either issuing that license in the name of the SABC or exempting us from its requirements in its totality.
Thank you, Shepherd. The next report will be presented by Mr. Cedric Gina, progress on the Auditor General's investigation.
Maybe before, Chair, of the board, you do the presentation of the AP. If you can request that we go to the other items, because we are still trying to get some attachment of the report, just physical copies, so that when it goes through the report, they can be able to follow through exactly which page is at. So if maybe we can go another item, maybe when the copies are back, then we go back to the AP.
Thank you,
Jefferson.
I'll ask Mr. The acting CEO to report on salary increases and benefits from 2007 to date. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to get to the page of the report. If we turn to page 16 of the report, thank you, Chair. where we've given a summary of the annual increases, where these are the annual increments. Generally, our base pay changes by inflation plus 1% on average. And as you can see, in the last 2 years, in order to start reducing the cost of top and senior management, those increases have been moderated. So in F9 at 10, there was no increase for top management, and F10, 11 is currently just being considered by the board, and they've come in with a lower request on increases than was proposed by management. So that's how the top and senior management is being moderated around the annualized increases for top and senior management. Obviously, our middle management and our bargaining units go through processes of wage negotiation with organized labor within the organization. So those are still contained, and we have some hard bargaining from time to time. But it is a collective process. We've also then given a breakdown of the executive remuneration in total. And the corrective actions going forward are obviously the new operating model of the SABC, looking at how many senior managers we need in the organization. That was also a finding within the AGSA's report. And then the efficiency of the portfolios and how much actual output is generated through these various managers for the money that they receive. And then we also included as a final annexure, Chair, the full detail by individuals as annexure B to the submission, the full details by individual, where we've given the full breakdown of the remuneration over the period.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. We will then proceed to the performance report for the current year, including functionality of the board, by Mr. Cedric Keane, pages 19 to 76.
Thank you, Chairperson. Members of the Portfolio Committee, thank you to the board members for the confidence that they've shown in me to ask me to present this report. The report is a detailed written report, which, as far as we are concerned as the SABC board, it does show that the board and its subcommittees have been doing their work. We thought that because the report was submitted, we're not going to read word by word. But you can see from page 19 the number of subcommittees that we have, and from page 20 going forward, explaining the number of meetings that were held, the key decisions that were taken by those portfolio by those subcommittees. And we are satisfied as a board that this shows really that the board is functional in terms of doing its fiduciary duties. Thank you, Sir President.
Honourable Michael?
Chair, just on a point of information, I'm a bit concerned about what Mr. Gina just said, because he said that this report was submitted to us, and that's why he's not going through it word for word. I got this report exactly half an hour ago. Can we find out when it was submitted? Because then we need to establish why members of this committee only got this report half an hour ago, because I certainly haven't had time to go through it. So I'd like him to go through it word for word.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Mr. Gin, can you take us through the report?
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. Okay. On page 20, it's a report on the risk subcommittee, which initially when we came, there were two subcommittees. The risk and audit was one subcommittee. And given the challenges that were raised by the AG report, the board decided that you need to separate the two subcommittees And currently you have a risk subcommittee as a separate subcommittee chaired by Mr. Harris next to me, and you have an audit subcommittee chaired by Mr. Golding as two subcommittees. The subcommittee has had three subcommittee meetings, and the decisions, they are listed. I don't know whether the honourable member also wants me to go through all the bullet points. And then on page 21, you've got the technology and DTT subcommittee, which was chaired by Mr. Mafato Mello, who's one of the board members, one of the four board members that resigned. And it also had three meetings, and the decisions in page 21 on those bullet points, those are the decisions that were taken by the subcommittee. The audit subcommittee also had three special meetings, had one scheduled meeting, and also had a workshop to discuss pertinent issues about the audit at SABC. As you know, that we've got an acting internal auditor, and which is a matter that is getting attention, and within no time, that position will be filled, and we'll have a permanent internal auditor to jack up the work of the internal audit. Then we had the turnaround subcommittee, which is one committee that had more meetings than others, given its role that was given to it by the board. Because when the board came and received the report from the interim board, it felt that it needed a committee that was going to look at the AGSA report, the things that were raised by that report, and monitor the implementation of those things that relates to the government guarantee. This is because of today in SABC we've got SIU doing its work, because when this committee started meeting, it realized that there were issues that needed maybe professional assistance in terms of the investigative skills of SIU. As we speak today, they are helping us a lot, and there are criminal cases that have been reopened. There are criminal cases, criminal dockets that are ready to go to court anytime, and they have redeveloped or revived the relationship with the Commercial Crimes Unit. So we are happy with the progress, and we hope to see some action happening in that 3 year in terms of following up on the things that were raised by the AG in terms of responding to the government guarantee. And the next subcommittee on page 24 is the new subcommittee, which has met 3 times and taken the decisions that you can see up to page 25. And then you've got another very busy committee, which is supposed to be 2 committees, PBS, PCS, and the 2 chairpersons, which was Barbara Masekela and Makato and Claire O'Neill, felt that because of the work that they are doing and the things that they are discussing, they are intertwined. They felt that they should have those meetings jointly most of the time. So that is why you see the report presented as if that's a 1 subcommittee. It's these 2 subcommittees, but most of the time they meet, they are treated as 1. After the resignation of Mayor Barbara Masekela, Claire O'Neill was appointed by the board to take care of the both subcommittees, which she's doing excellently. There were 3 meetings that were held. There were a number of approvals that were done. You'll remember in the public there was an issue about the RFP book, which was a little bit late. It was not the fault of the committee. It came a little bit late to the committee, but as soon as it was in the hands of the subcommittee, it was dealt with, a recommendation was made to the board, and that RFP book was sorted out. And there are decisions up to 26 clearly stated in the bullet points. And the Finance and Investment Procurement Subcommittee, chaired by Mr. Mosepe, sitting on my left, but not politically, I'm not sure, It also had three meetings, and it approved the, you remember that one of the things that was raised by the AG was the absence of the bid adjudication committee, and the committee approved. We now have a fully functional bid adjudication committee. They've approved all the other, the issue of the debt collection agency agreement, the SABC treasury policy, and all other bullet points that are mentioned in page 27. And there are annexes which details the work of all these subcommittees, which I invite members of the portfolio committee to go through them. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Panova.
Thank you, Chairperson. In all honesty, thank you to Mr. Gina for this presentation. But actually, I'm still in the dark, and I think a lot of the other members also. Let it be, there was a lot of subcommittees sitting. I want to know now, what did the committees achieve? Just in a short, in a nutshell, I want to know what did every subcommittee did to provide extra information to the SABC to help with this turnaround plan? Because I don't know at this stage. We are just playing around with a lot of words.
Honorable member, I'm sure you agree that we are going to receive the presentation, and then thereafter we engage. I would think that we can note the question so that when we come to the question time, they are able to respond on the question which you are raising, linking it to the turnaround strategy. We'll come back to the question. If they can just note that, so that when we come back, they respond to that particular question. But if we start to discuss this one now, it will mean we have to discuss the other ones we have already passed that. But we agree that we are going to receive presentation thereafter. We go into question. But I note your question.
Sir, can I just add one thing?
Okay. Can you proceed with the presentation?
Okay, sir, I just want to add that all these subcommittees were meeting and taking recommendations to the board. I think an impression should not be created that they were taking decisions and then decisions were implemented there. So there were board meetings.
Mr. Gina, you don't have to respond. We are coming to question time. Proceed with your presentation.
Okay. I now come to the main board. That the board has had a number of meetings, and some of them special meetings because of the issues that needed to be addressed. And we are happy as a board that we have managed to take decisions that have taken us thus far. As the chair indicated, that as we speak, if you compare up to what we achieved the same time last year and what we achieved now, we are on the positive, and we think that that is due to the decisions that were taken by the board after receiving recommendations either from the subcommittees or from the Group EXCO. Thank you very much.
Mr. Gina will present the AG's report.
Chairperson, I don't know whether the members of the portfolio committee now have the copy, because it's quite a thick document and it's detailed.
Take us through your report.
Okay. On page one of the document, the issues that were raised by the AG, one of them was the issue of the quality of reporting. In terms of the document systems and processes, and the fact that in terms of supply chain, we're required to ensure that systems are relevant and reliable, and develop a policy of maintenance of records, integrate system to ensure one version of the truth. What is currently happening in the corporation is that our IT specialists are working on the different systems that we have, because in SABC you have Landmark, you've got SAP, and they are not talking to each other. But there is a project that is going on whereby we want everything to be on SAP, which is the best performing system accepted by many organizations, and the team in SABC is doing that work. Within no time, hopefully before the end of this financial year, everything that happens in terms of procurement, people will log in into the system, and anyone from whatever level in the organization will be able to see who logged in, when, and what type of a transaction was taking place. And we will model our system to other best performing organizations in terms of the supply chain management. We also have a performance reporting framework that has been developed, and we want to have a clear reports that we get as a board in terms of the different clusters that meet, so that there is a clear flow of information from your people cluster, your finance cluster, right up until to ESCO and to the board. There has been company-wide training in terms of the PFMA in the company, because that was one of the issues that was raised by the AG, that it seems like people didn't understand the PFMA. And as we said, that the internal audit is currently the acting person, and we have raised that as an issue as a board, and the chair of the audit committee is addressing it. Where the adverts were made, and it's a matter of concluding the process of appointment, and then the SIU is going to be helping, working with them to strengthen their capacity in terms of investigations. As I said, that we've separated the audit and risk. The risk is doing a marvelous job. Currently, they are relooking at the current 20 top risk, and very soon the board will receive a recommendation, because the risks are not stagnant. There are a moving target, and the committee, I was assured by the chairperson of the risk committee, that they are looking at that, and they'll be bringing to the board what are the current 20 top risks. When you go to the next page, the internal audit has been asked to do a fraud awareness campaign, whereby the audit committee will decide on the fraud awareness week, where people will be told what are the things that they should be careful about. The issue of the leadership monitoring of performance, yes, the team that is in SABC currently, which the CEO spoke about, is going to assist the organization in terms of change management, whereby we want to ensure that all our employees at all levels know exactly what they need to do, and they follow the SABC processes. So you will notice that in this report there are some blank spaces which are covered by the turnaround which the TCO has presented. And we have said before here that there's been a challenge of the disciplinary procedure, which we think that as a board has been outdated in terms of it takes very long for cases to be concluded. And we have directed the executives, the responsible executives, to develop a new policy which will be able to make sure that when you start a case, within 30 days you are able to complete a hearing, unlike what has been happening. And we have encouraged internal audit to really go to the police station and open criminal cases. They shouldn't wait for the board. If they pick up that in their investigations that there might be improper conduct by employees, they should actually go to the police station, open a case. The report that the chair of the audit committee requires is a report that says that we have opened a case on this matter, we've opened a case on this matter, so that action can be taken. And we've also said that they should make recommendations to the board where civil action needs to be taken, obviously through the audit committee. On acting decisively to correct deficiencies, I think it is being addressed by what I've just said. On the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, as I said, that there was a company-wide training on PFMA, and going forward, we don't expect people to say that to claim ignorance when there has been fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We do think that incidents of fruitless and wasteful expenditure have not increased. We don't get the sense from where we stand as a board that people are continuing to do these things after the PFMA training that was done in the organization. I've already mentioned that the issue of the 20 top risk. I've mentioned the separation of audit and risk. Okay, one thing that I didn't mention, which I think is very important, is that we have invited to the audit and risk committee external professionals who are serving there. So we've got qualified accountants who are external, who are serving as members of the audit committee and the risk committee. And we have received a lot of contributions from them, which are beneficial to the organization, and we are happy with their contribution. Chairperson, I think really all the responses to this AG report are covered. The ones that I've not mentioned here are covered by clear action plans that were presented by the acting CEO in terms of the turnaround plan. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ask Mr. Gina to present the report on disciplinary cases.
As I've mentioned already, the issue of a disciplinary procedure which was making it cumbersome for management to conclude disciplinary cases within a short time, we have directed the responsible executive to develop a new policy which will expedite that process. Having said that, Chairperson, Group SCS has submitted regular reports to the subcommittee and the board in terms of dealing with cases. When we came in, I think in April, we had about 32 outstanding cases, and by the end of June, the 30th of June, those cases had got down to below 10. And we also had a number of suspensions, and we were able to reduce the number of suspensions. As I speak, Chairperson, I don't think we have more than 10 suspensions, and even those that we have are closer to completion. Their cases are being heard as we speak, and we think that by the end of this financial year, we will have no suspension that should still be outstanding, Chairperson. Some of these suspensions are frustrated not by SABC, but by the people themselves in terms of changing lawyers, especially those high-profile cases where people change lawyers and they ask for postponement. postponement. But we have asked our people who represent SABC that we cannot keep on postponing cases. So if we postponed once or twice, we don't think that it will be fair to the corporation to even postpone for the third time. And we are seeing results in that we're seeing more cases being completed now. And there were also issues where people were suspended for example, a criminal offense that happened outside SABC. We've had a discussion with the group XCS, and they've agreed with us that in some cases they think that they will follow a different process. Yes, it is important for SABC employees to behave in a particular manner, and when they brought SABC into disrepute, we think that SABC is fair to act, but we think in the process we should just be mindful of not putting SABC into possible litigation whereby people can come back to SABC and say we were unfair to them. So, Chairperson, all in all, we are happy that there has been a considerable drive to resolve the cases. We think that the acting CEO will help us in ensuring that there is a change of culture, because the other problem we have in SABC, we've got senior managers who, according to group HR, who were not willing to chair disciplinary hearings. And I was saying, coming from where I come from, I've not heard of it that you are a senior manager, but you are not willing to chair a disciplinary hearing. But as part of the change management and the change of culture, we hope that more and more managers will see it as their responsibility to chair a disciplinary hearing, irrespective of whether those people that are disciplined are their friends outside work. Thank you very much.
You see, Mr. King, your high-level report in this case does not help. There were cases in the annual report which members raised questions. We want you to take us one by one on those cases and raise it. So I appreciate your high-level report, the preamble, but now go to those cases so that you explain them. That's what we require. If you are not ready, maybe we can do something else, but we need those cases on the annual report. If you check your annual report, there were cases for the 2009-2010. There were questions raised about those cases there, one by one. Are you able to take us through those
okay.
cases?
Okay, yes, sir. The case of the head of internal audit was raised in the annual in the report, and that case has been resolved. A senior advocate has sent a recommendation to the board, I think, 2 months or 3 months ago, which the board accepted that the head of internal audit deserved to be dismissed, and is currently head of procurement. That's a matter that was raised by the thing. And he is now out of work. He was dismissed through a fair process. And all other matters that were raised there were addressed, except for one issue of the general manager news, the issue of the archives, which has not yet been completed, and it's in process. And as I said, we expect that case to be concluded very soon. There has been a delay from the news in dealing with that case. But we understand that there's been a lot of complications. They've had to add charges after the initial. They discovered more grounds for more charges to be added, and that has added to the delay. And that's one high-profile case that was mentioned there. But the other matters, as I said, they've been concluded, and others are proceeding.
You've set your list.
Oh, I see. Mr. Gini was also going to talk on the functionality of the board.
Okay.
So I present. If we can do that as well.
Functionality of the board.
I'd say, unless there are questions, I thought that I had said that as far as we are concerned as the board, The board is functioning very well. The subcommittees are meeting. They are sending recommendations to the board, and the board considers them. If the board were to be asked whether it has performed the duties, it will say so. Maybe we might say that some of the decisions we've taken were in special board meetings. Maybe if the portfolio committee will say we should have had more ordinarily board meeting than special meetings, then we'll accept that. But we think that it is the conditions that we're working under that made us to have more special board meetings. Thank you.
You see, if a tooth does not come out voluntarily, the doctors, they extract it. It's fine. We're going to question.
Probably just to go further on that issue, Chairperson. You know, we came to the portfolio committee. We had two reports. That I presented my report in a closed meeting, and then subsequently the court ruled that the process had to be opened, but for some reasons that did not continue. Now, we've discussed this issue. Do we go back to those separate reports, or do we say that is the past, we now go forward? You know, there were issues that were raised, and I specifically asked that some issues be investigated. But that work, the shareholder has indicated very strongly that he wants to work with us through those difficulties. So it's not as if things have been swept under the carpet, but it's work that is going to continue, especially with the guidance of the shareholder. There were things that I said in my report which were very unfortunate because it was information that was available. And to me, that signified dysfunctionality in the board. But we are now functional, and we have worked very well. There were things of personal relationships, and we have overcome those. Now, Chairperson, this is what I was hoping that Mr. Gina will probably emphasize, but Mr. Motsepe will do that.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members of the House. It is just a matter of emphasis that amid the four resignations that we've experienced as a board and amid the challenges that we want to be forthright about, we want to make an admission that we indeed had challenges as the board. However, we want to put it on record that we have since put that into the past. We have made a very clear commitment to the shareholder, to the corporation as board members, both individually and collectively, that would continue to discharge our responsibilities as an accounting authority, but also in compliance to various other legislations, including a code of good practice on corporate governance. So we are committed to discharge those responsibilities both as individuals but also collectively, Chair. So that is where we are. We admit that there were challenges in the past, but we are forging ahead in turning around the situation. Thank you very much.
Can I perhaps help on some of the detail Mr. Gina was requested to provide around the disciplinary cases in the annual report?
I was coming back to that. He just gave us a high-level report. We asked the detail. He gave us another two high-level. Maybe you can give the details.
Yes, sir, I shall. We previously discussed the question about the procurement of legal services for the collection of TV license debt, which had been considered a revenue contract. The AGSA report was of the opinion that it was a procurement contract. It's related to the 89 million rand. The 2 million rand ones were all cases where we had contracts with a sports production company, a boxing company, for title fights where the contracts were signed after the event. So it was in terms of the overarching agreement that we had with the content house to produce those boxing events, but there had to be a separate contract per event. Those contracts, so that was the two million, the 2 million and the 2.5 million were all one event where, when we did the review, the contract, the manager believed that the contract, the overarching contract, had covered the event, but in fact when group internal audit went through it, they were of the opinion that it should have actually been done on a case-by-case basis. So the full 23 million rand had been approved in the budget process and by the relevant authorities, but the individual 2 million rand business cases had not been. Then there's this one on 1165, which was a series of contracts, such as, and that takes us right down to the 40 million rand one, Chair. These were Molly Banks, which is a production for 29,000 rand called entitled Testing Hope. There was 110,000 rand for DV8 in Zimbabwe, 133,000 to MTV, a product called Seed at 17, and that was the, and there were various ones that made up the 2028. Content was broadcast without a fully signed contract, where the contract had been signed by the broadcasters but not by the legal department. The contract obligation is a consequence of the international office extended to distributors, so this went right back to that question about acquiring international content under these output deals but not having separate individual offtakes against those licenses, including WVI Films, for which is CBS for Judge Joe Brown at 3 million rand, and then Red Carpet, which was a series of Bollywood titles that we bought for 2795. And then the 40 million rand one was a contract that we signed with NBC where they had a right to extend the contract for a further 2 years without reverting to the SABC. The SABC's original mandate was for 3 years only. That went forward in the disciplinary process against Mr. Mbebe. That matter, as you know, expired when his contract expired. Then we had a series of other international content and write-off for 8,293,000, and that's quite a long list of titles that we impaired at year-end. And I'm just trying to find the last one for 1772, Chair. And that was around where we didn't clear all the licenses we required for DTT. And I'm afraid the 1636 is another series of cases, and I actually can't quite get to the total value of that share. It's another series of international acquisition titles and content. What have you got? This last one. So, Chair, that's all of them except the last one, if you just give us a little while. I think that, in fact, was the Wellness Center contract, where we didn't get all the value that we had paid for in terms of a construction of a wellness center at the SABC in the foyer. And then there were various actions, Chair. There's quite a long list for the other 6.8 million. There is a full and comprehensive report available, Chair. I'm not sure if we should circulate it. It's got a whole lot of people's names on it that don't, where we haven't taken disciplinary action or they were cleared. So that gives all the detail to this note, Chair.
Chairperson, I beg your indulgence here that if we can have a short break, we can then canvass whatever is outstanding.
We can have the short break after we have telling us about the appointment of head of news. We have not dealt with it.
All right. Thank you very much. Ms. Gina?
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Members of the Portfolio Committee, this is a matter that was in the public domain. But as a board, we want to report that we did take a decision after a lot of things that happened in the board, in the public. As a board, I was a member of the panel, which went to a board meeting where I made a recommendation and the other members of the panel made a recommendation and the board did the appointment. I think the meeting was on the 3rd of September, if I'm not mistaken, on the 6th of September. So that's when the appointment was made, and the board, we are happy. As we said, the deputy chairperson of the board said publicly that as a board we've never had an issue with Phil Molefe as a person, and we were happy with his performance in the interview. Thank you.
You see, Mr. King, you come here to report today on this matter. We have been following this matter on newspapers and other somewhere else. You see, we want you to give us a report in terms of the process. It does not help if we are saying you as a person, as an individual, were part of the interview panel. But can you take us through what happened until the board take a decision? We don't want to deal with the speculation in terms of media and other things, because you are here before us as a board, and this is where you account. So can you give us the account of the event, what exactly happened until you finalize your appointment?
Okay. We started the process in May. We had interviews on a particular Friday. We interviewed all the candidates. There were four candidates that were shortlisted. We interviewed the candidates. And on that particular day, we could not finish the scoring. So we agreed that we are going to meet the following week to complete the scoring. And we met the following week, wherein a discussion took place in terms of the members of the panel, where other members of the panel were raising an issue of how should news division look like. And then out of that, we had given the task to the GCO to go and do some work in terms of how should the news division look like. So we were going to go to the board on the 3rd of June to go and with a completed process as a panel, inclusive of a matter which we're not originally mandated to deal with, which is how do the news division look like in SABC. And it is unfortunate that before that, then an announcement was made publicly that an appointment has been made, which then the issue that brought the matter to the public domain. But I think we continued to say that as a board, we feel that the matter should continue, the process should continue. As I said, the 6th of September was the culmination of a process where the board now received a recommendation, which the board duly accepted and appointed Mr. Phil Molefe as head of news and current affairs. The rest of the issue, Chairperson, as you said yourself, it was the issue that was in public, which forms part of the issue that Mr. Clifford Mutsipe said that are issues that happened, and we think that we are looking forward now as a board, and we've all accepted that there might have been mistakes in the past, which will not be repeated going forward. Thank you very much.
Chair, was that the last one? Because I just remembered that one, but we're still waiting for the last case. Are you ready with the last case which we're looking for, the cases of the annual report?
This was also one of those collection of international acquisitions. So we sort of found out it was like things like Savage Grace and a few other ones. But to actually get back to the reconciliation, we haven't got it on our system check. But it was similarly questions where we believed we'd acquired content under these major acquisition contracts, where in fact the individual contracts for drawing down titles were not separately authorized. And those all went through disciplinary processes, Chair.
Ms. Thompson?
Thanks, Chair. I think that I need just to emphasize one point so that we are able to allay fears of honorable members around the appointment of Mr. Phil Molefe. The major concern, because we're expected to be very frank and very open with honorable members, the major concern that spilled this matter into the public arena was one major non-adherence to the articles. As Mr. Gina has indicated, the announcement which was made before the board could actually make a decision, that was the major concern. But as he has indicated, we have since re-looked at the issue, and as a board we have then corrected that particular unfortunate situation. So the major issue was an announcement which was made before the board could actually apply its own mind, among many others. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it needs to be made clear that the decision that was ultimately taken by the board on this matter was not a ratification or a confirmation of the announcement, which, as Mr. Motsepe has said, in the view of the majority of the board, was irregular. It's for that reason that the board passed a resolution on the 22nd of May confirming that Mr. Molefe had not been appointed because it had not gone to the board. So we just need to be clear on that. And that, in fact, when the board did pass a resolution on the 6th of September, it was an appointment as of that date, according to the procedures that had followed. It was not a ratification or a confirmation in any form of the previous decision. And the employment contract was to run from the date of the signature of the appointment letter, following on from that decision of the 6th of September. So I think we just need to be clear about that.
Thank you. You are done with the issues, Chair. Can we go to questions? So this short break. I never seen it before where the entity asked a short break. But I can be guided by the members because you are requesting. Can I hear the members? Michael?
Yeah, Chair, we've got questions that need to be asked now while issues are still on the table. And I'm terribly sorry if the SABC aren't prepared enough to answer our questions. They did know exactly what was expected of them. So now they must figure out what their problems are while we sit here and ask questions, because we're not here to waste any more time, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think I would, as the NC, I would agree with the chairperson of the board. Let's give them a short break so that they can put their heads together and then come back to us. I think it is not a sin, Chair, when the entity requests a minute so that they can have their own caucus. It is fine, because I think it is for the good cause. It's not a sin. We are human beings. And this is all about governance. So let's give them a chance, Chair. Thanks.
Honorable Kevin will be or members will be a sin to give them the 10 minutes which they request and come back. We continue our question. But I can see that we have to break around 11:15, but I thought maybe we can break when we go to 14 once and for all. But I could see that it's still almost 30 minutes away.
that break for tea. You can just give them the 10 minutes to come back. We continue our questions. I'm not sure because we have just adjourned. We are waiting for you in 10 minutes to come back.
Take the questions in terms of how did you present your schedule.
which you have used to make your presentation, so that at least you can focus to one issue and then go and finalize.
Sorry, then. Before we start with the questions, Ms. Claire O'Neill would like to make a statement.
What is
there were some issues which were not covered properly, from which questions were asked. So she just wants to clarify. Okay. All right.
Before maybe we go to the question, we need to clarify certain things because during the, I'm not sure whether it's the carpet break or the caucus, that's what I've been asked, I could not clarify. During that period, we had some movement within the committee room. Part of that is that the National Treasurer was trying to assist in terms of questions for the members to ask, but we've clarified that matter. That we respect the National Treasurer as one of our key institutions. If they want to participate like the Auditor General, they make the necessary arrangement to be given a space to make their presentation on how they view things as National Treasurer before we can go into details of the discussion and other things. So we've dealt with that matter, we've clarified that you cannot have such a movement without going via the committee section, because there is a process how documents are processed in a committee meeting, a formal setup. You don't just do other things without following that. So I hope in the future, we're not stopping National Treasurer from participating or raising issues, but that must be done through a normal process where they can be given a space to make their presentation vis-a-vis what the board has presented and so on, so that we handle that matter in that way. So I'm just raising that so that we can just understand that we've dealt with that particular matter, because it's caused some discomfort from other members and also the board members and so on. So in the future, we're clear how do we deal with it. We can't just receive documents, flyers and other things. It's a formal setup and so on. So I'm sure we're clear on that issue. We can proceed to the question for the members. I just wanted to clarify that so that there are no problems. Can we go to the questions? I see two hands. I'm not sure those hands are where. I've got the list of people who have asked questions. Can I go to the...
No, thank you, Chair. We really appreciate your ruling and the summary on the matter. But I think this is a serious matter, and I think we need to put it on record that as the board, we are really surprised by the conduct of the National Treasurer. It leaves much to be desired, to say the least. And I think we would take the matter up with our minister, because certainly this is not how things are done in government. Thank you very much.
Okay, can we proceed to the question? To start the question. Sir, we wanted to talk about the issue of the National Treasurer. Okay, we were raising your hand for questions.
No, Chair, I wanted us to address that. Now that we have addressed it, and I'm fine, I'm okay.
Okay, members, can we start with the issue of the first item they presented was the schedule of meetings. Do we have any question around that? The schedule of meetings. Panerot?
Thank you, Chairperson. Just allow me to make a couple of broad remarks. I think what we heard this morning is astounding. I don't think what the SABC board says this morning give any clarity on the position of the SABC. And if a ordinary person, and I am an ordinary person, listening to what was said this morning, I'm very honest with you, Chairperson. I'm not knowing anything more that we know up till now. And if this was to be a clarifying of the position of the SABC and how they are going forward, I'm not so sure that the SABC, on the grounds of what they said this morning, is in a position to go forward. And I'm very honest with you. I'm sure that the SABC personnel is also watching this proceedings on television. And if this was supposed to be a morale-boosting effort from the board to the personnel, I don't think they succeeded in that. And I don't know how the other members feel about it, but we are not wiser at this stage after more than an hour when we listen to the board. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Van der Berg. And we are not going to get wiser if you don't ask questions, which is also going to help us to be wiser. The comments won't help. What will help is to say on their turnaround strategy, what is it which is lacking? We should make us wiser so that we can boost the morale of those employees which are watching the proceedings and so on. Honorable Michael?
I'm a bit confused now. Are we talking about meetings or are we talking about the turnaround strategy?
Wanted to take the item.
Okay, so the schedule of meetings includes the disciplinary meetings that they're having. Or you just want the meetings of the board?
Is the schedule of meetings of the board, if you look at page 5 of the document, yes. Wanted to start in terms of what they've reported so that there will be a flow of dealing with the issues, because if we just open it, you might ask, the other one will ask the schedule of meetings, another person will ask the turnaround strategy.
I've got no questions on the schedule of meetings,
Honorable Kenneth.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the schedule. I just wanted to make sure, is this then going to be, because according to the articles of association and the whatever is it's governing you, you have to have at least one quarterly meeting. Is that understood? And this will therefore be the formal quarterly meeting. Chair, can I just have confirmation of that? And then just to say at the outset, I know that it has been a very tough year. So far, not an entire year. And I know there were many additional meetings. And I know members have really given a lot of their time, members of the board. So I think it is also just appropriate for us to understand that if we look at the list that was provided previously and we look at this sort of skeleton list that is provided for us for the next year, we understand that it's not possibly going to be your only meetings. There will be many, many special meetings. So from our side, just thanks to board members who are actually sacrificing a lot of their time for special board meetings for which they are not receiving any package payment whatsoever. So thank you for all of that. But the schedule of meetings, is this going to be the formal ones? And I believe that there are still two outstanding for the current financial year up until the end of March. Thanks. Just got them.
Thank you. I'm sure you have noted the question. Honorable Makal.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chair, let me also thank the SABC board for the work that they have so far they have done. We all know that the SABC board, there has been problems, and also members of the board, they were also, you know, dealing with these problems. But it was not easy. But, Chair, I just want to say I don't have anything on the schedule of the meeting. But the only thing that I just want to understand so that when the board appears to the committee next year, we are clear about this, that is it going to be a norm now that the board, they also report about their schedule of meetings? because for me, Chair, it's a new trend. It's a new thing that the board, they report about their schedule of meetings. But I know in the annual report, they can mention about their, you know, their meetings. So I want to know that, is it going to be the trend? Because once the board is fully fledged, I don't think that there is a need for them to report about their schedule of the meetings, but they can report about key decisions that as a board they've taken, which those decisions maybe they will affect, they need to be heard by Parliamentary Portfolio Committee. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Nondab.
Thank you, Chairperson. As a follow-up on the schedule of meetings, in view of the fact that we know where the SIPC as a group comes from, and we also know where the board in terms of functionality and relationships comes from, is this schedule going to be enough for the board to be able to really perform optimally? While we do not want to see the board micromanaging the SIPC as such, but at the same time, in view of the problems that have beset the corporation, and in view of the fiduciary duties and responsibilities that this board has got, do they think that the schedule of meetings as given is going to be enough for them to be able to come back to us and say, now that at this point in time we feel that the SIPC is now running optimally as it should be running, or are they merely scaling down on the schedule of meetings in order perhaps to satisfy this committee that, or in the outcry that they were accused of too many meetings?
Thank you. You can respond.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I just wanted to respond to the issue made by the Honourable Member about there not being sufficient information, and to use his words that that this is just a lot of words. And I accept that there's a bit of a trend for the SABC board and the corporation to be a sort of punch bag. But in terms of what is down here and what is being presented, an enormous amount of work has been done. And while speaking for myself personally on the board, and I'm sure I speak for other board members and the chair, we accept that we should be criticized for things that have gone wrong. But an enormous amount has been achieved, and I want to just address a couple of issues in that, because the allegation is that this is just a set of words. In fact, it's much more than that. It's a set of concrete action plans, and if details are requested of each of those plans, from the revenue strategy in relation to international content acquisition, those documents are available. They run to hundreds of pages. If that's what the Honourable Member would require, we're happy to supply that. But this is not just a lot of words. And I think recognition needs to be given to the fact that this board and the interim board have reduced the deficit from 950 million to 450 million. That's reducing it by half a billion rand. We have an unqualified audit, and an exceptional amount of things have been achieved. So if you're saying it's a lot of words, Chair, you know, if you go to page 20, for example, which sets out the activities and the decisions taken by the Risk Committee, which I happen to head, so I'm just going to talk to that because I'm the person that's very familiar with that particular area. It sets out a range of comprehensive actions and activities and responsibilities which address risk in every form, from the development of a risk strategy and risk management plan to IT to insurances to dormant companies, etc. It's all there. Those are not words. Those are concrete activities in relation to each of the committees of the board. And I think that goes to the fundamental question of the functionality of the board, which my colleague has already addressed. What it does show is that despite the difficulties and the enormous challenges which we faced as a board, an enormous amount has been achieved. It was this board that brought in the SIU to address issues of maladministration, mismanagement, and corruption. That was a decision we took very early in our tenure, and those details will be made available once those investigations are concluded. But a lot of work has been done. So once this report has been properly perused, you will see that there is a set of achievable objectives. There are short-term wins, there are medium-term wins, and there are long-term. But this is a process. And I think it should not be forgotten what we inherited as a board and the substantial strides that we have made in addressing those. In relation to the issue of meetings, I'm happy to leave that to the chairperson of the board, Dr. Ngubane. But the fact of the matter is that we have had to hold a number of special meetings to address very urgent and critical issues facing the corporation. And many of those issues have been addressed, and there have been substantial savings. We would hope that in our report this time next year to Parliament, that we will have reduced that deficit by a lot more. But, you know, we've got R500 million off the debt of the SABC. That's a substantial achievement.
I've got a follow-up question. Can you finish the responding to the question, and I take a follow-up?
If I may, I just think, I don't know whether the committee is aware that this board is operating under a dictate of the late Minister Ivy Matsepe-Kasaburi, which has not been updated by the former minister and indeed the current minister, in that we have to operate under a decision made by that minister that says, please note that the number of main board meetings that must take place in the year must be limited to a maximum of 6 board meetings per annum, including other meetings such as strategic planning sessions and subcommittee meetings, should have a maximum of 4 meetings, but in extreme cases can be a maximum of 6 meetings. So all the other meetings that we are holding to do the very work that you're asking us to do are held in terms of special board meetings, which we do for no remuneration whatsoever.
Chair, thank you. I think I must make something clear on the onset, and this is something that the board members must understand. We are not here to punch you down. We are not here to criticize you all the time. We are here to execute our role as oversight, and that's all we do. We're not here to cajole each other and to pat each other on the back. We're here to do a job. Every time you do something right, we encourage you and we thank you. Every time you come to this portfolio, we thank you for staying. We thank you for not having resigned. Believe you me, we know the amount of work that you are putting into this board, and we thank you for the amount of work that you are putting into this board. But, Chair, through you, perhaps if Mr. Harris had started out this presentation and said what he'd said now, things would have taken a completely different turn. Because when we are presented with a document as we walk into a meeting, it is not fair of the board to expect of us to know what work you have done when this piece of paper gets put before us and you start rattling off things. And, Chair, may I say very vaguely, I haven't looked through this report. Chair, I don't think you've looked through this report. I don't think any of the members have. We've listened to what was presented to us here, and now we're trying to desperately follow. Half of the documents only came to us in the middle of the report. So, you know, it's very difficult for us to sit here and exercise our oversight role fairly and in a matter that clearly doesn't offend the board, because clearly we are offending the board when we get told that we're using the board as a punching bag. That's certainly not what we are doing. We are asking questions because we have an oversight function, and the board must not take offense to the fact that we ask questions. Sometimes our questions are hard to answer. Sometimes our questions may criticize things that the board has done, but that is our job, just the same way the board has a job to execute. And I don't think members should feel guilty for having asked questions or for making comments, because this is what we do here. We have frank and open discussions amongst ourselves.
Thank you very much. Before another follow-up, I think, members, we have raised questions around the schedule of meetings, and the board has responded on that issue. The question raised by a Rev Zondi is the issue whether can you live up on this meeting, which I hear, which we have tabled before us. But I'm sure the answer is at the point where you've got special meetings. You are allowed to have special meetings to deal with other issues. And so forth. That's the question raised by Rev. Zondi, because we are not limited only to this meeting. You've got special meetings which can use to do other things. I think the question which was raised. But that's why I didn't rule out of order, Honorable Van der Berg, when was raising his issue, because I understand that we must do our oversight. And when we do our oversight, we are not going to do it in terms of fear or favor. We do it as we seem to be fit to do it as members of parliament and so on. But I will assume members that the issue of schedule of meeting has been sufficiently responded to. Can we go to the turnaround strategy?
Could you please tell us, it is my understanding that all the documents to answer Ms. Michaels, it is my understanding that these documents were sent through by the company secretary to Parliament last week. So that is why we did what we were asked to do. It is my understanding that all the documentation was sent to the committee section as requested.
Thank you very much for that issue. Can you go to a turnaround strategy? Any question for turnaround strategy?
Taking a point of order, I think it is important for us to know where the problem lies, because we only were issued with them this morning. We got the turnaround strategy, a PowerPoint presentation yesterday, but we didn't receive the other documents until we walked into the meeting this morning, and we need to know, was the problem on the SABC side or was the problem at Parliament?
Maybe if I can deal with that. The document was submitted to Parliament in time. The issue was that you had other documents which the legal services of Parliament were supposed to go through because contain names of people on cases which were not finalized. So they have to go through that process, which happened on Friday. Now, as a result, it delayed to come to members because most of members were out of Cape Town. They only arrived yesterday, and some of the members arrived this morning. So the document from SABC arrived in time. That I can confirm. The only issue was that it was the processing of the document themselves, because we had other documents which had a list of people with names on incomplete actions. So those documents were supposed to go through the legal service of Parliament to advise whether those documents can be tabled without those processes being finalized and so on. So that's where the delay was. But I think there was a miscommunication, because only that section, which was supposed to be held back until they'd been cleared, but the other document was supposed to go out in time and so on. So our apology from this side on that particular matter.
Chair, that means Ms. Michael, she should withdraw her comments.
If she knew before I explained, maybe, but she didn't know. She was talking under the assumption that the document has arrived late from the executive.
Chair, I certainly won't withdraw my comment, and I'll tell you why. What I will say is the SABC acted completely correctly. I never accused them of anything. I said that the documents arrived on our desk today. Our documents did arrive on our desk today. It's now been cleared up that the problem was on Parliament's side, not on the SABC side. So, Chair, what I suggest is that your committee in future speaks to the Secretariat of the SABC so that we can ensure that this kind of thing doesn't happen again.
Honourable Mroot.
Chairperson, with due respect, I think we have understood what has been explained. You say it is not the SABC's fault. Yes, yes. I'm on your side also. I think Michael has understood this. Can we really go forward with our work? Thank you.
Honourable Seven, turnaround strategy.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Firstly, let me congratulate you on your new official position, and I can see that they are doing well thus far. With so many orders. Also, to congratulate the SABC board
to me, Chair, to be honest, I see a lot of improvement. Just starting with the documents in front of us. There is a lot of information. The only thing is, as honorable members have said, maybe we receive the documents now. That matter has been dealt with. But as compared to previous meetings, there's a lot of improvement. There's a lot of commitment, even when people are presenting from the side of the SABC, you see a lot of commitment that there's a light after the tunnel. I'll really like to commend them for that. But that story, they must keep it up. They must keep the candle burning. But, Chairperson, in regard to the turnaround strategy, you'll call me to order if it's not the turnaround strategy. The acting GCO reported on the matter of the resourcing for change, but that one I'm sure is on the turnaround strategy. On that one, I hear him saying that they don't have enough skill at SABC. So I just wanted to know, in implementing this good document in front of us, the SABC high-level document, you really need that high-level skill. It's a high-level turnaround plan. We need high-level skilled people to implement this document. What are you intending to do to make sure that we have that skill that, as you said in your report, you don't have? And then on the other issue, that's one that I said I'm not sure if it's 100% part of the turnaround strategy, is the issue of outsourcing external professionals to assist on audit and risk committees. I just want, it's a good thing, especially if you have said that already you have got fruit of that, but I just want to know how much are you paying for those professionals, if there's any money attached to it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Originally, Honorable Van der Berg, we had a question which we stop you when you were asking while we're still busy presenting. Honorable Killen.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just quickly talking to the document. I wanted to ask on Lever 1, which is the increased revenues, Chairperson. I note that they listed some key projects that are underway, and I was just wondering if one of the key projects should not also be changing programming to align them with needs, audience needs, just to make sure that also as far as your competitors are concerned, where would that fit in terms of really gearing the organization for the future? Then I note that you were also looking at, and that would probably be part of increasing the revenues, is looking at an appropriate funding model, also to try to attract further sort of, to create new models to make sure that people want to utilize the SABC. If you have the audience figures, then they would like to come in, to become advertisers on the SABC as well. How do you balance that with sort of the consideration of a funding model? And then lastly, the implement an efficient organizational structure design. Honorable Sebe has already referred to the issue of capacity and skill shortages that you face at the SABC. How do you intend to correct that? Because we have a wage bill which is quite excessive, but it's not necessarily balanced as far as the necessary skills and qualifications are. How do you intend to correct that? Because unless you also make some tough decisions in some sections, I find it difficult to believe that you will make the necessary decisions that would in fact make the organization as such viable for the future. To speed up those processes, what do you intend doing as far as that's concerned? Chair, I feel that one can ask quite a large number of questions, but We understand that this is just a very superficial presentation of different processes that are underway. The road map and the dates set there and the identification of some processes that you believe would be the quick win operations. It would be very valuable if the SABC could just, also the board could just indicate to us what are those that you're really going to prioritize. Is it only these? I see you've listed risk management framework and full key vacancies, etc. But what are the others to make sure that also the financial management of the organization is in safe hands and that we don't have a runaway wage bill in future years again? Thank you.
Honorable Velma.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for this presentation. In the business with the turnaround strategy, I need to know what are you going to do to make your television programs accessible? For example, in the annual report, I think that the acting or the CEO at that time said that the digital migration will be a pilot, and you've done the pilot study on the DDT, and it has been implemented. I want to know what will you do to make it accessible, and then, and when are you going to report to this committee on that pilot study that has been done? I've been told over and over again that digital will make it easier for the board, for deaf people to have access to television. Will the pilot study show that subtitles will be easy to do on the digital television, and I want to know if the pilot study will cover that result. And then secondly, the previous honourable member already asked this, but your committee audit, and I find it strange that you do not have a subcommittee on human resource. I remember there was a previous board member on the previous board that dealt with human resource related matters. But when the presentation was done on disciplinary meetings, so I saw that this is going through the audit committee meeting. So is the audit committee then handling all human resource-related matters regarding disciplinary hearings?
Honorable Van der Berg, or is you, or
thank you, Chair. Chair, just a couple of issues on the turnaround strategy. One, the increase in revenues. I see that for any investments over 70 million, you offer 45% discount. Now, isn't 45% too much? What am I not, I see you shaking your head at me, Mr. Nicholson. What am I not understanding, and please then explain it to me, because 45% seems a lot and I don't understand why. So you can explain that to me, and you don't have to shake your head. Driving operational efficiencies, the resourcing for change, the appointments in strategic vacancies, how far are we with the appointment? Because I still see a lot of acting everywhere. You know, when you appoint people on a full-time basis, it creates stability, it creates motivation to work harder. So can we just know how far we are in that? Because I think that's terribly important. And then also the driving performance culture. I really like this one because I like KPIs. You know, I think people have to be held accountable for their jobs. All new appointments, I assume, have KPIs attached to them. For example, for Malefi, the appointment of Formal Effie, I'm assuming that his appointment came with a full set of KPIs. So can that just be explained to us for, you know, just to make sure that that is happening?
Thank you. You can respond. Chair, can you distribute the responses?
You know, some of these comments doesn't assist.
when we are honorable members, we expect this table to respect us. But some of the utterances by my honorable members this side, I mean, it's not right, it's uncalled for. Maybe if we can conduct ourselves in a good manner so that the other side can also respect us. If a person is shaking his head, you don't know what does it mean. Maybe he is responding to something else, but there are many utterances my honorable member has been saying since her questions. I mean, sometimes it's just not correct.
Do you see honorable members before I go to honorable Mthambi? Can we please conduct ourselves in a dignified manner? I will appeal also to the court, don't make gestures. We provoke people to talk to. If you can also act honorably, because you see, if you make gestures, people might be tempted to talk to what we are doing and so on. Can we appeal, please, that we conduct ourselves in that manner?
Point of order, absolutely, but then you are absolutely correct. Gestures mustn't be made at me when I'm asking questions. And Chair, while we're on this point of order, I wasn't going to bring it up, but could members also not call members of the board comrade and then go, I beg your pardon, and withdraw the word comrade?
It's difficult, eh? Honourable.
So, Chairperson, I think the main objective for all of us is to get things correctly right at the end of the day. And we are in this together, all of us, members and the members of the board, members of the committee and members of the board. Mine is on the, just an addition on the issue of staffing in terms of the, your resourcing for change. It's an addition with regard to your SABC International. Why are employees within SABC International still being retained whereas the broadcast is now done in-house? What are the cost implications? Because I think we need it. In terms of your turnaround strategies, this is one of the things that you need to look out. Also on the issue of the content hub, I've seen the organizational structure. There are so many general managers. In terms of your strategy on the implementing of the efficient structure, organizational structure, I think you need to look at that because it looks like a bloated structure when I look at it. Because there are so many general managers of whom some of them don't have line managers who report to them. And then the last one on your turnaround strategy is about the SABC has got the regional bureau in all the provinces. But why do most stories that see the light of broadcast are happening either in parliament or in Gauteng? What's happening in these other regional offices? It's like my constituency where I come from in the rural villages in Limpopo. What's happening? And then you are saying that there are KPIs. What are these regional managers and regional editors doing there, down there? If now it's performance, then why are you keeping them? Because really, I think this is disadvantaging the masses that we represent. And you'll agree with me, it's a total violation of the broadcast framework, the intention. And then the last one, on your turnaround strategy, I can't see, maybe you'll assist me, on how do you intend to deal with this competition? Look at how ETV, you watch ETV and you compare it with SABC. Now you can also look on DSTV, Soweto TV, if you look at it, their programs. I think your turnaround strategy should also be able to indicate to us how are you going to deal with this stiff competition that's out there.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm very glad you're the Chairperson. I can see you are a very honest man. And we can trust you in the future. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Mr. Harris, for your answer. If the board said it in the beginning, it's actually wonderful to hear that nearly half a billion rand was
in the coffers of the SABC. And then I just want to ask just a single or a simple answer to my question. To regain R500 million is quite something. Just in a couple of words, what did you do to get that right? In other words, there was something wrong in the past because that money was somewhere else and now it's in the coffer. So you did something wrong. You identified a problem. If you can just identify one or two problems that you identified immediately when you began with your turnaround strategy, just to give us a broad idea of exactly what you did. You know, when I used the words playing with words, I didn't mean it in a bad way, but just to be practical, that we can, as a committee, can see. For instance, if members of the public ask me what is going on at the SABC, I can give them a couple of points and say, well, the SABC is busy turning around. They will be on the winning track in future. Just give you a couple of examples what you did. Then about this whole thing of incentives to skilled people in the SABC, Mr. Nicholson said, after a while, it will be phased out. But if I look at it logically, if you phase this incentives out to skilled people, you will lose them in any way after their contracts ended. And the whole thing is with this incentives is to keep that skilled personnel at the SABC. And as I heard, there is a lot of skilled people leaving tragically the SABC. And the SABC needs skilled people today. And then just a short question about the radio and television audiences. I read in the paper yesterday that SABC 3 is also going through with a drive to accommodate more Afrikaans to SABC 3. And as we know, Afrikaans viewers and Afrikaans listeners, they're very loyal to the TV stations, radio stations, etc. But what is part of the turnaround strategy to maybe regain lost viewers or listeners? Because it is a reality. If you lose a viewer, then you must do something special to get him back. And that's a reality. And I just want to ask, I don't know if it's really part of the turnaround, but if the SABC can just give us an idea. I'm not sure, Chairperson, if I'm out of order, but this whole DTT, because it's part of the turnaround, the DTT, where are they standing now? And maybe just a couple of words on developments and are they in on track with everything? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Now you can start to respond. By the question of skills retention, you can reserve it for the next item because we are going to the skill retention after the current one. Then you can respond on the rest.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm just going to answer the first question, which was in relation to how much external committee members, and I think coming from outside to sit on committees to augment the skills, get paid. They get paid 5,000 rand a meeting. And you know, depending upon the committee, so for example, they sit on audit, risk, and finance committees, and that's really to supplement the skills on those committees in terms of getting actuaries and CAs and experienced business professionals. And there are three or four meetings a year of that, of those subcommittees. So just to answer that question, in relation to the issue raised by the Honourable Member, the Van der Berg, in terms of how those savings were made, I can comment on that, but I'll leave it to the acting GCO just to say that we can't claim all the credit for that because that was as that financial year ends the 31st of March. So we can claim some credit, but I think the interim board also should receive some of that credit. But I'll leave that for the CFO to, I mean, sorry, the acting GCO to comment on.
Golding.
Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Golding.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also commend you on your new appointment, or in fact, the election to the new chair. Thank you.
So I think, one of the things that we need to be able to highlight, while I will deal with, a few questions, is that part of the board turnaround is our short-term and long-term measures. The short-term imperatives, of course, is to improve the cash flow of the business. Hence, you see positive indicators where we've been able to slice down the deficit, to the range of around 400 million rand. How does that come into being? I think as a board, we're also very strong on cost containment to say where there are areas where there's a lot of fat and wastage, we need to be able to cut that down. So it comes in two ways, both from the supply side and the demand side. Supply side, it's where you'd find that people are just, acquiring things that they may not be necessary. So your cost containment plan was in fact talking around those particular things to say, are they necessary? That impacts, of course, in terms of how much you spend. On the other, on the demand side, is a situation where you begin to strengthen your internal control system. Then you eliminate your wasteful expenditure in that particular way. So broadly speaking, these are some of the imperatives that I think are attributing to this. But also, the other thing as well that in fact we've been able to emphasize, and I think it is quite properly demonstrated, is the issue around how do we manage the debtors book as well as how do we manage our creditors. That in itself, in fact, had a particular, had a positive impact, as well as the collections as well, from the licenses. I think I thought that particular area we should actually want to cover properly. On the long-term side, I think the board, we are quite clear that we are here for a period of 5 years, and already a year has gone past. But if there is one area that I think as a board would like to see the SABC going, is a situation where the SABC is properly repositioned as a successful organization in a future digital media environment. That is where, in fact, we'd want to take the corporation. And I think the turnaround, without repeating, it then talks to the six pillars that underpin that, and I think they are there. I would not, in fact, repeat them. So these are some of the imperatives that I think even when we come back, we'll be able to say how far we have gone in addition to what exactly we have done. On the issue around the HR issues and the audit matters, human capital issues are dealt by the governance board subcommittee. It deals with those particular issues. The audit committee only comes in on issues when there's an abrogation of internal policy. Then the audit committee will come in and investigate those particular issues. When they've been able to have a finding, then they will refer to a line manager to be able to deal with them. That is how the audit committee, in fact, has been functioning. But what we are trying to do as well is that we are trying to shift the focus of the audit committee from being a reactionary committee, in a sense that it will sit back and not become proactive, into more a proactive institutional mechanism where we're able to build capacity in terms of promoting a compliant and a value-based organization. So these are some of the issues that I thought are important. Maybe the last issue that I can raise is that I think as a board, we are not blind to the fact that we have done a lot of work on the turnaround. And I think it's a time where we need to be able to relegate all that work to management now, to begin to run with it, so that we can be able to retain our oversight and make sure that the key performance indicators are followed quite clearly. And I think the issue around the skills match is one area that I think the turnaround we're dealing with to say, in this new environment organization, what kind of a skill sets are we dealing with? And I think, invariably, that particular kind of a process will result in other people, being reskilled or de-skilled or, in fact, or placed in other areas. In some other instances, of course, natural attrition will take place. Thank you very much, Chair.
How do you de-skill people? They are going to skill people alive.
I'll attend to some of the revenue questions that were addressed by Honourable Member Killian and Vandenberg and Honourable Member Michael. Some of your questions overlapped and interlinked in the way I heard them, so I'm going to try and address all of them, and if there's anything missing, then we can readdress those. Honourable Member Killian mentioned, spoke about the first point of increasing revenues. vis-a-vis looking, also looking at the funding model. What we've been doing pretty much all year since we took over from the interim board is we addressed the revenue issue first in terms of the turnaround strategy. So we actually started addressing it in February this year, in that we created a fix-it plan for revenue. The fix-it plan was directed at sales and sales controls, controls of the discounts, controls of, you know, what was the added values that were being given back to clients, et cetera. And that started in February, and that actually addressed some of the issues that we see now in terms of clawing back on that debt. But just going back to that funding model, we're also looking at, so the sales side was the standalone fix-it that we began with. But in the PBS-PCS subcommittee, we're obviously dealing with the issue of programming and the retention of viewers and attracting more viewers and growing viewers. So we're doing that simultaneously. And what we've set up, which is in the revenue plan, I mean, sorry, in the turnaround plan, is that we've set a date to the end of March, which is one of the quick fix things we're doing, to the end of March, to actually fully understand the cost of the mandate. Because on the one hand, one can fix revenue issues in terms of sales operations, but on the other hand, we have to evaluate and understand the full cost of the mandate and how the full mandate gets funded. So, for example, through all the work we've done, the insight we've gained into the cost of sport and what can be covered by the private sector is, the gap is enormous. So, you know, in looking at that issue, we're looking at the cost of the mandate, public value, vis-a-vis improving return on investment. So we're almost simultaneously doing those three things, one after the other, all simultaneously together. The issue, Honourable Member Vandenberg, of retaining viewers, we are developing a network strategy for programming because, you know, one platform can erode another platform. So we're going into looking at the platforms, you know, in a collective so that we retain what we're losing, by our competitors. The question you asked also, Honourable Member Vandenberg, is what do the committees actually do? Just quick, a couple of examples that contribute into the turnaround plan. So I'm going to go into the broadcast subcommittee, which relates to audience and relates to revenue. And that is that we've gone into looking at dealing with marketing, because marketing has fallen off the table. So we've got a marketing tendering process to bring back audience, to bring back revenues. We're looking at terms of trade with the independent producers to look at things like co-funding of productions so we can save costing there. We're developing a plan around that. We are looking at the content enterprise's structure. Honourable Member mentioned that the content enterprise structure is huge, it's bloated, there are too many managers. We're looking at that in the organisational plan. We're looking at, there's so many things we're looking at, sorry. But the main issue is that cost of mandate vis-a-vis the increase of revenues. So those are the kind of things that the PBS-PCS subcommittee look at and feed up into the turnaround plan, which we'll be monitoring, you know, literally every single month going forward next year, if I can sort of give you a view of how we deal with these issues. I'm not sure if I've answered all the questions, but if there are any more, we'll be happy to take those.
Ms. Akin?
Chair, I think my colleagues have answered a number of questions. Safe to say that there was one question that was raised about maybe an impression was created that we said there are no skills in SABC. There are skills in SABC. I think the acting CEO said there are not enough skills, and the organization is addressing that. So there are skilled people, but there are also people who are crying to be given an opportunity, which have been picked up by the team. For example, one of the rediffusions we had, some people were saying, Mr. Gina, SABC sends us to all good schools to do MBAs, and when we come back, we don't get the opportunities. So this change and the implementation of the turnaround strategy will identify those people and give them responsibilities so that SABC may recoup the investments that they've made into those people.
Thank you very much. You see, the problem is that if the acting GCEO says that, it creates difficulties. But I wanted to ask whether I do have a steel audit. Have you ever conducted a steel audit within the SABC so that you know exactly what skill you have, what skill you don't have, and so on? But if you don't have to go into details in terms of that, I was just wanted to check that, whether you undergo a skill audit process, which you can talk with authority in terms of the skill you have or you don't have. I think, GCEO?
Chair, on that issue, the reason I said that we don't have enough of the skills is that in some areas it's quite clear that we need more digital skills. So, for example, in digital content creation, we know we've got some skilled people, but not enough. We have to retrain virtually all of the production staff on those skills, like we did during the World Cup around digital broadcasting. So it's not a question of, and as I said, so if we look at something like scheduling as a particular skill, we've got three teams of schedulers, but in DTT we might need more schedulers. So the question will become in the turnaround strategy, how have you got specific initiatives that transfer skills and develop skills across the organization. Chair, if I can just deal with some of the direct questions, and I apologize to the member for having upset her by shaking my head. I'll get back to that later.
I hope it will be outside the committee.
one of the questions, the first questions, well, I've written them down, so I'm going to try and answer ones which perhaps weren't answered by other members. The first one was, how are you going to change the funding model? At the heart of it, I think there are two really big building blocks that we've got to get addressed, other than the operating model and the cost of human capital and all of those really difficult issues, and that is the funding for local content. Where is that going to come? And that goes back to the bottles around intellectual property ownership that the SABC currently deploys, where it's own everything, and maybe that has to move more towards renting some and sharing some rather than owning everything. It also comes back to the ways of selling. So right now we are talking to Cricket SA, how we get sponsorship for both Cricket SA and the SABC, and perhaps in a partnership get more for both. It also, I think, quite important about how we get and attract audiences back to some of our platforms. There have been some really strong suggestions and some very encouraging plans put together by the content and platform people. I don't necessarily want to disclose all of those here, Chair. That is really core to how we see gaining market share. But it is about things of changing the schedule, changing where programs are on air. Mr. Van der Berg himself said more Afrikaans than SABC3 may be an option. On the capacity and skills thing, I think it is time that we're going to have to make some really tough decisions. So, we've really, and to Mr. Van der Berg's question about does the SABC staff know and understand it, I think they do. We've been talking quite seriously to the Senior Management Forum and to the middle managers of the SABC about what it means we need to do and what it means. So, and that really turns around five major principles, putting broadcasting and broadcasters back in the forefront of the organization, which speaks directly to the learned member's question, yeah, but what are you going to do about Content Hub? Well, the first thing is that content acquisition forms part of the television grouping, and that naturally means there must be some structural changes around how it's managed and how many general managers you may or may not need across all of television. Let me not be specific in sales content enterprises, but clearly there has to be a proper structured process and consultation with organized labor in particular before such a restructuring is undertaken. But that also means an operating model that is simple and easily understood. So if someone wants to come to the SABC and they want to sell programming to the SABC, they know that they've got to go to television and not something called content enterprises because it's clear, we can all understand it. I mean, if you can't understand how something works, it probably isn't working very well. And there's a lot of money tied up in that not working well, whether it's bad scheduling, bad programming, buying too much international content, commissioning the wrong local content, not delivering the audiences. That operating model is a really, really big thing for the SABC to get right to reduce its costs. Build an organization that's economical, efficient, and effective really does mean looking at all of those support functions that are not about broadcasting and asking the question quite simply, do you need them? Are they properly and efficiently organized? And then also picking up the question about if you had more skilled people, would it cost you more or less? In most cases, better output costs you less because you don't have the efficiency and the losses and the waste. Focus on the performance of the organization at every level and holding the individuals accountable for delivery. We will be engaging with the organized labor unions at the SABC, and Nikki will know this well, to take the revised performance management system right through to shop floor. That may not be something that you can do in a week. It's a difficult negotiation, but it's been an ongoing exercise at the SABC that has not fulfilled in the best part of 8 years. So clearly that's something that needs to be done quite quickly. Around the skills chair, it is about building a digital SABC and managing and reporting on what matters to the organization. So those are the big things around skills. DTT and the question around hearing impaired people, I think what DTT does allow is not just dubbing or subtitling, but also looking at questions of closed captioning as an option. It also looks at multilingual subtitling. So on one stream you get the English subtitle, on another stream you get the Nguni or Sesotho subtitle, which I think is capable. It is a capability of what DTT can do. We're not investing any more in the DTT project right now other than keeping it on air until we understand where the standards are, what the rollout dates are. You know, we've done the technical evaluation. We understand what the issues were. To come back to the issue that the Rukhwa was shaking my head, discounts are always going to be a sensitive issue. Not only because I'm sure if someone from ETV or DSTV is sitting in the back there, they would love to know what our maximum discount is to our largest advertiser, because they will simply go and beat that and take revenue away from the SABC. So it's not a question that we like answering. There's the three major areas that are very sensitive commercially. How are you going to schedule? What content are you going to buy? And what discounts are you going to give to your advertisers? So I apologize for shaking my head, but it is something that, you know, is very difficult to answer. And as to whether 45 is enough or too much, I'm sure if you ask the advertiser, it's not enough. And I'm sure if you ask Lerato, it's probably too much. But the airtime market is a very volatile market on a day-to-day basis. Clearly, you don't want to go and give them 45% one day and 60% another day and 20% the third day, because it will create havoc in the marketplace, which is why we've got bands within the policy, and we are trying to measure and manage the policy going forward. But what I will say is that some of our competitors offer advertisements on air that are cheaper than our radio spots. So I don't know whether 45 is enough or not enough. All I know is that the net pricing says there's a shift of market share to our competitors, either because they're delivering more audiences or because they're charging less. There is a transparent market price. It's transparent only to the media owner as to what we're charging for an audience. It's called a CPP, a cost per point. We always set a price point in the course of the year. There's been a discussion with the Advertising and Marketing Association a week before, where we actually put out our pricing points to the market so that there can be more uniform marketing going forward. We need to make some critical appointments fairly soon, Chair. I mean, I think that the board is well aware of that. But in order to get there, we need to understand what those jobs are going to look like. And we just about finished that process, but there also has to be a consultation around that. Appointments of KPIs, is this happening? The head of news is KPIs. Are currently in negotiation with the new subcommittee as we look at the turnaround for news, so those KPIs need to be revised. Some of the direct questions around SBC International. We cut a lot of staff out of SABC International. We didn't close all the bureaus. And we kept some competence in-house in order to keep the channel alive on SABC, particularly SABC 3 late at night. It will form the core for the news on a satellite platform going forward. And I think the cost implications were about 11 million rand a year. I've done a correction here. Trying to recall what that number was. But what we will do, and I think it's important to also talk about the regional model going forward, because if we have a platform on new media and DTT in a broadband environment, clearly stories will break on new media and radio. They'll be fitting the main news bulletins during the primetime news sessions, which will direct audiences onto a satellite bouquet where there'll be more news in depth, or to the DTT bouquet as it comes online. And the DTT bouquet is designed to deal with this issue about how do we have regional news and metropolitan news on television accessible to all South African citizens. So there is a clear issue around how we take news forward, which deals directly into the regional model question you asked. Why do we have regional general managers and regions? There is a proposal from the regions agreed by news and radio and technology on how to restructure the leadership of regions. Obviously, that needs to be discussed with the board. Unfortunately, we had a meeting last week on Thursday where there was a general consensus within the SBC on that take the matter forward, but it needs to go to the board, where there will be one point of contact in a region. The regions would be far more clearer to engage with. There would be a much more clearer management model of regions, so you couldn't decide, well, do I go and speak to the radio station head, do I speak to the regional news manager, or do I speak to the regional manager? We understand that's a confusion for many people, and we have got a proposal to clarify it, but it needs board engagement, and then it needs proper engagement elsewhere in the organisation, as well as the organised labour, because it is quite a big change. Regions cover approximately a third of all SABC staffers. The question about how do you deal with competition? I think that is the big question SBC faces going forward, not just from community broadcasters such as Soweto TV and Mzansi for sure. Mzansi Channel, looks a bit like SBC One. Competition is healthy. It makes your organization healthier and makes us sharper and more proactive about retaining those audiences. The only way to compete is to have the best programming. And if other platforms are producing local content, it enriches us all. Because as those producers come through with better and better content, hopefully the SABC will also be able to access their skills. How did we cut 480 million rand through the austerity plan? Chair, we did this in quite some detail with the results presentation, but I will just take you through it very quickly again. Let me get my notes up. The big cuts around taking the costs out came through where one would want to see them coming through. Some of the unintended consequences, we cut marketing quite aggressively. That's unfortunate because we need a marketing presence around the brand, but the corporate marketing, content marketing, and other marketing were cut quite a lot, focusing primarily on platforms and programs, and that'll probably be the core going forward. The other one that came down quite heavily was professional and consulting fees across the board, and that was also because of these special projects such as CNCOVA and those projects that weren't continued, as well as the complete implementation of the scheduling system, TVBMS, and the SAP system, and we anticipate that those costs will continue to fall in those areas in the years to come. The other big cut was in travel costs, which fell quite considerably, downgrading the number of flights, the quality of accommodation, not business class, all of those issues which we discussed. And then there was also a big cut in other operational expenditure. Those form the basis for an austerity plan. Those austerity plans are still in place in SABC and still continuing to benefit the organization in cost reductions. There were some very specific issues. So, for example, Mr. Harris was quite intimately involved in getting out of the CAF sports rights deal, which saved this organization 400 million rand in future years. You know, those kinds of things are not everyday events, but they are very difficult to achieve. We've also been quite hard on content renewal costs, where we're seeking either to maintain them at current levels or to actively reduce them below levels in the past. And Chair, I don't know if we raise this issue here, but sports rights cost the SABC about 500 million rand a year in losses. So you have to find a new model to fund sport in South Africa rather than simply relying on the public broadcast to continue to do it. It's a big part of the funding model, and it is part of the significant questions that the House has to deal with in the coming years, exactly how we fund sport. Because if you transfer money to the public broadcaster and they are making sport losses, you're effectively transferring it via the public broadcaster sporting body. And have you got proper governance accountability around that? Yes, Nikki, we have some very loyal viewers, but unfortunately you decided to come here and the viewers decided to stay on RS here. So yes, it is important to recognize loyalty, but unless you are giving someone something back that they can listen to, that's exciting and compelling, they will go somewhere else. Television is the ultimate democracy. It costs nothing to vote with your remote. You just push the button and you're somewhere else. So we do understand that. And we will have to do something special to get them back. The content people have got plans to get them back, but we're not going to share them. We'll just have to watch TV and listen to radio in the coming months. DTT, where are we now? Well, we're waiting for the regulations and all the rest of it around DTT. The SABC has proved its capability to broadcast on DTT. We continue to do so. It is now about rollout, set-top boxes, what are the DTT standards. And then, of course, how we afford the capital expenditure. That request has been made to National Treasury and the DOC through the MTF, so we'll probably get some answers in February around that. Otherwise, we'll have to find other funding solutions. Chair, I think that is done with all of the questions we asked. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Members, I'm told that tea and coffee and something else has arrived. But I thought we'll be able to finish the discussion before 12 and so on. But now it's already 12. I could see members, they've already started to help themselves. So if you can also join them if you want something, maybe to drink and so on, but we'll be continuing with the meeting and so on. So members, those were the responses for the turnaround strategy. But one follow-up, which if you can one ask this, is that you have talked about the funding, the mandate in passing. Can anyone elaborate? What exactly do you mean when you talk about funding the mandate? For someone, I'm sure is Ms. O'Neill, if I'm not mistaken, was talking about funding the mandate. What exactly are we talking about funding the mandate and so on? What we will just use the term in passing.
Okay, Chair. Within the SABC, the issue always becomes not about explain what we mean. There is a mandate placed on the SABC by ICASA, and there's the SABC's natural desire to exceed it. Now, on some mandate programming, there's not a commercial revenue stream that supports it. So it does become a question about how much more mandate you do that you can fund from other sources of your broadcaster. So whether that is children's educational programming, and perhaps that's the most apparent model. It's not necessarily the most appropriate, but it's the most apparent model. You've got limitations on how much advertising you can have, and you've got the broadcasters and the content providers who believe it's not appropriate to have advertising in children's programming. So how do you voluntarily reduce the amount of advertising in children's programming to reach your PSB objectives and not to just deliver a future generation of consumer-minded children? And also about how do you do that kind of advertising responsibly. So that places, and that programming is quite expensive. There are some issues around why I chose that particular example where ICASA doesn't allow you to repeat three-year-old programming. They want new programming every year, but every year we get new three-year-olds. So I'm not sure you know, that's the kind of mandate programming question you have. If your audience has changed in such a way, can't you repeat more of it? It's very expensive and there's no revenue. So it's those three things, Jay. It's about how do you dislocate advertising that's not appropriate, even though you have time. It's how do you exceed your mandate delivery requirements for news, education, and true PBS programming. And thirdly, how do you get your license conditions to work for you around mandate? So those are the three. That's what we mean by when we say funding the mandate. It's about how we do the extra bit over and above our ICASA license conditions.
The mandate you're talking about is the license condition.
It's the mandate, it's where the SABC goes beyond the license conditions, Jim.
Maybe the discussion of its own, which we need to engage in so that we understand the exact. Because we often ask ICASA to put more obligation, license obligation, to the licensee so that we can have this universal coverage and other things and deliver all this. But maybe it's a topic we need to come to one day and have a full discussion just around that so that we understand what is the implication or the impact of that and so on. Members, are all your questions covered so that we can go to the next item before we break for lunch? The next one will be the retention bonuses. Around there. Retention bonuses. Like Honorable Van der Berg, which has said it must be deferred to this side. It was around the issue of if we are saying we are phasing out the retention bonuses or schemes, how do you make sure that you don't lose the skill which you want in the SABC? So that's the question which you have.
Also, a question. Maybe it's just the way that it was formulated. Maybe it doesn't mean what it seems to say at this stage. It says for all general managers and higher, between 1% and 20% of actual basic salary will be applied. Just wanted to make sure, does that therefore mean that there was a decision taken some years ago, that was in 2006, I believe, that all managers would actually receive a retention bonus? And how does that actually make, what is the scarcity or the hot skills that they have? Is a general manager not a person that is sort of generally available? Just wanted to make sure, because the reason why I'm asking it is, it is a natural tendency of many bureaucracies, Chair, to actually develop survival skills beyond contracts, etc., and then to build in a little bit extra fat on retentions, etc. We must make sure that we really identify scarce and hot skills for the organization to be able to lift itself, to really compete in the commercial sector in which it operates, so that we don't just have general sort of awarding of bonuses to people that is not really scarce skills. So I just need to have a little bit of a better explanation of that. I note that it is moving out. On the other hand, I also hear what my colleague has said, that you don't want to lose scarce skills. But if I listen to what Mr. Nicholson has said, I think we need, and a growing organization, especially in this environment, needs modern DTT skills, etc. Do we really need to retain general manager skills? Just a question on that. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable Van der Berg.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a comment. I think that the production people in a broadcasting company like the SABC must be the highest paid in the company.
They are shop swat by chance. Yeah,
it's a follow-up on the question already raised. Also, I want to link it with the key performance indicators to say, I see it says it's the division, the head of the division recommends the retention. do we also look at the performance of that particular person based on the KPIs? Hence, I'm linking it based with the need, with what was raised on the need to turn around the situation with regard to the reliable KPIs.
I think when you respond, can you help us? Remember, the matter arise when we're questioning that who's supposed to get the retention bonus. If you can tell us what is the current status quo, we are talking about phasing it out. What then, because what we said, we talk about the review of the policy. What then do you want to deal with that, particular issue moving forward, which will cover the issue which has been raised in terms of retaining skills? Because we raised this issue because the indication was that is a blanket approach. There is no skill which you are retaining, except that people have just been getting that without even being a sketch skill. For argument's sake, a general manager, without any skill which is maybe scarce in the market, but getting a retention bonus and so on. So it will be important to tell us where you are now, what was the skill look like, and then how do you want to move forward so that we understand in that broader context, and then fit in the direct question from the member.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I'll just kick off on this and then pass to other colleagues. You know, it's really a move with best practice in terms of remuneration, that you move to a total cost of company package, and you try and deal with the issue in terms of performance incentives and bonus. And so it's really in that context that the company is moving towards labor best practice in terms of remuneration and benefits. The issue which has been quite correctly pointed out is that it should, a retention bonus should only be in relation to certain specified skills areas. And that is why this, in a sense, ongoing review is going through that sifting process to eliminate areas where people are getting retention bonuses when actually, you know, their skills are not scarce enough to warrant a retention bonus. And it really is as simple as that. It is an area of weakness which is in the process of being addressed. And as you can see, that number is coming down with each passing year. And a lot of effort has gone on since we came in January to bring that down further. So it will be reduced. Having said that, we acknowledge the fact that there are certain key skills that have to be retained, and I'll pass on to others on that particular point. But the key issue around remuneration, whether it be in terms of standard remuneration, benefits, bonuses, or retention, is that it's got to be linked to performance. And I think the big sort of hiatus in relation to state-owned entities is where people are getting big bonuses or retention allowances, which are unrelated to their performance. So those things need to be aligned, and we accept that.
The other issue, Chairperson, is that it must be part of compensation, overall compensation policy. And that will determine our structured package, our variable pay, you know, and of course the incentive scheme. Now, depending on the percentile at which we pay, we reward, we compensate workers and managers, whether it's 75th percentile or 50th percentile with a range of 20 either side, that is a matter of negotiation between the GCEO and the GEs in the department, of course, having to be approved by the board. So it's a comprehensive investigation which we are working on, and we hope to come with a standardized package and, of course, all the other things related.
I hope the one, Mr. King, you'll be able to assist us. What was the current practice? How, because money has been paid to people as we speak. How was that happening? Was that linked to what you are talking about, performance, or it was religiously payments for bonuses? So if someone can clarify that, so that we also are talking about reviewing, but we don't seem to understand the status quo. What are we reviewing exactly now? And so, Mr. Kina? Okay. Chairperson, as the chair of the turnaround subcommittee, we received a list of people who are currently receiving retention bonuses. And when we looked at them, we had a number of questions. Our initial thought was that we can be able just to recommend to the board to willy-nilly cut them. But then when we discussed with the SABC team, it was explained to us that even though currently at SABC you have 79 general managers, some of them are just called general managers, not because they are general managers, but because they've got a specialist skill. And in terms of the SABC structure, in order to locate them and attract them, they have to be called at a level of a general manager. But when we look at what skills they have, they do have specialist skills. So which talks to how the organization is structured and how we attract particular skills. So that was the first issue. Because the team then told us that if you say as a board you're just going to cut retention skills, these are the skills that you're going to lose, and we need these skills. So that is why we then opted for a process that will say, for example, what has been happening is that it was the ultimate decider of giving a retention bonus was not the most senior executive, and which was a problem, because it was saying if I'm a manager in a, if I'm a GE in a particular section and I get a recommendation, I can actually approve or send that for approval, which was a problem. And SABC, the group EFCO, is discussing now that the approvals for people to get the retention skills should change. It can't be a person, a GE, who just feels that this person should get the retention skills. So there should be a clear process, which is detailed in the report that we've submitted. But also, as a board, we're not supportive of the McKinsey approach to changing organization, where you just come with a big broom and say, I'm taking this decision, I'm cutting 100 people, because the lessons that we learned in other organizations, that if you do it like that, in terms of the balance sheet, you see the improvements in terms of the money that remains in the organization, but it does affect the organization going forward. So we're just pleading for patience from the portfolio committee and everyone that we want to follow the due process in dealing with this matter. We accept, as Mr. Harris has said, that this is a one of the priorities that you must deal with, but we think that you should follow the due process so that what you said, Chairperson, does not happen, where by mere taking a decision, then you lose the skills that you need. We do agree with you that there are skills that really do not need to be retained. I mean, you even have HR people getting retention bonuses when there are thousands and thousands of graduates with HR degrees who are not employed. So we're taking things step by step in a process, but we clearly know what is our vision there, where we're going to. Thank you, sir.
Thanks very much. I'm sure your explanation assists, because that's the issue we are trying to clarify, whether you only pay those people with the required skills or general people have been paying. But I hope that moving forward, we're not going to see a report where you continue paying people with the skills which can be found at any time. You'll only be focusing to scarce skill and so on, because I think that's the key issue. Because the issue of general managers, I think we have assisted to clarify that one, because most of us were confused, this number of general managers in the SABC. But I think you must move fast to give them the correct title. Because you see, if you look on your report, it's just confusing. So many general managers, but you are saying those are specialized people, but for the sake of paying them the salary and other things or retaining them, you call them general managers. I'm sure you must be able to deal with that particular issue so that we don't find it as we go on. The chairperson, your hand, brother. Okay.
cannot pronounce on this, although we have a very clear figure and understanding of what needs to be done. But it's early days for us to come out and confirm this.
Building on what the Chair said, we have put some things together around the operating model that talks to this issue as well, and that there should be no more than six levels of decision-making. So you have a board, a group executive, an operating division, a segment, a department, and a team. So you'd have a production team, you'd have a head of, that reporting to, I don't know, the morning show or whatever, that would be part of a radio station, that would be part of radio, that would have the group executive decision in the board. So it would take literally no more than five decision points from the time that somebody on air had an idea to the time a board resolution, if it was required, could be made. Now that does mean that you're going to have to go through your management authorities and job gradings for your new model. And in that process, you will have to go through a skills audit and recognize where those true scarce skills are across your organization. That process is not going to happen very quickly. So just to build on what the Chair was saying about how quickly we can get to this, what are really scarce skills and when will we actually deal with the management structure. So we are in the process of putting those principles in place and going through a proper process around consultation in terms of organizational design.
Thanks very much. Any follow-up, Honourable Chair? Are you already on the subsidiary company? Up.
No, Chair, just that Mulanyana thing on page 9. I see that the board resolved to approve an amount for the skills retention, but it was subject to the confirmation of the CFO. I just want to know how far are they in the process. Did he approve or not?
Chair, that was at the time the scheme was proposed. And there was a budget of 16. The request was for 20. We only had 16 available. So that was at the time the budget was proposed. Currently, we only budget for those retentions that are in place that won't expire in the current fiscal.
You see, the issue, if you can switch off your mic, the issue which is picking up is that it will seem there is a process of approving. What discussing here, you are telling us about a process of doing away with the religious approach. But she's picking up that there seems to be a process of approving such. Can you clarify that what exactly is happening between that? Because, you see, we don't want to go out of here and only to discover next week or so that the people have anyway continued approving the same thing which we are talking about. So if just you can clarify exactly where are we now? What exactly is happening? Mr. Kim?
Certainly, if you notice, the date on those two resolutions was in 2008. So the report that we've given now is a report about the decisions of this current board. So this was the previous board that was taking a resolution on the matter. As we said, I think the SNDCO did say that this was given a life of 3 years. So if you count 2008, 2009, 2010, yes.
So nothing on the pipeline about those things. No, it's okay. We can move to the next item, members, the subsidiary companies in the SABC. Honorable Funeral.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Nicholson mentioned something a while ago when he was speaking that they are trying to, or they will get rid of some of these dormant subsidiaries, if I'm not mistaken. I just want to find out exactly when it's going to happen. Are they going to keep that on the books? But I think it's actually a simple legal procedure to get rid of that dormant subsidiaries. Thank you, Chairperson.
That is the only question. Why are you keeping this company anyway? But respond to the question.
Sure. Let me just look. We are in the process of initiating those steps. However, we do not know what rights still reside in those subsidiaries. That is the key. a company based in the Netherlands could have all sorts of networks where it has got interest and so on. So he's busy with that process, you know, and it's something that we hope to finalize very soon.
I think to unwind Astroset, Scania and Rugby Broadcasting is relatively simple. We haven't done it because it was just, it cost money to deregister and it wasn't costing us anything to just leave them alone. So it wasn't a priority until this board made it a priority. We are in the process of requesting deregistration for those three. But Auckland Park may take a little bit longer because it's situated in the Netherlands and we've got to go through a legal process. Airwaves Travel, as I said, as long as we've got to issue airline licenses out of a wholly owned subsidiary, which saves us the travel agency commission, will be in place.
Follow up?
Yes, so just a follow up. Maybe the SABC board can use the Rugby Broadcasting Proprietary Limited to broadcast the silly play of the Springboks in Britain.
Yeah, I will say they run 42% more to do that next year.
No, members, we can go to the problem. I think we have to jump the Auditor General's investigation report, because it's a thick report. If you look at the time now, it's past 12. Maybe we can deal with the other issues. We'll check that one when we come back from lunch, so that we've got enough time. Maybe if we can go to the report on the salary increases, if there are any question around that, between the middle management and the senior. Report on the disciplinary cases. Honourable Michael.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, a couple of issues. I didn't think that we got a full explanation on the full Malefi issue, but that we'll deal with when we come back. Although I do feel that in a way it will fall under disciplinary issues, but I'll explain myself later on that one. Chair, I want to know, I understand that the process is ongoing, so nothing about the detail of the case can be discussed, but I heard on the news that Mr. Sully Mkwetla's disciplinary case had started and was ongoing. I'd just like to know how far we are into the case and when the case, you know, we deem to have it finalized.
Mtambi, Honorable Mtambi.
Thank you. There is this leaflet that was given to us. It's a two-page. Talking about suspensions.
A leaflet?
Yeah, it's a leaflet. Two pages, right? I want to refer to it. I'm looking at the periods of suspensions. I believe the SABC has got a disciplinary code and procedures. The leaflet. There's a two-page leaflet about suspensions.
Sorry, member, if you don't mind. It's an extra 10.324A of the bundle.
Suspension for the period of 2006 to August 2009. I've got a couple of questions on this letter. The first one, I'm looking on the duration for the suspension of other employees, you see. The first top one, there's 39 months. For the two, 13 months, 19, 15, those numbers you can see. And then even move to the next page. There are two 16s against personnel. My question was about, I believe the SABC has got the disciplinary code and procedures. And then the intention of the discipline procedure normally is to correct the behavior. How does the SAB have instances like this wherein people are suspended for more than 39 months? And you can also see the average salary that is put there. And then how do you have such a situation? Most of there is a responsible person who was responsible. I want to check as to whether there were
any remedial action taken about this responsible manager, because we know discipline is a managerial function. And then this money, because really this becomes a fruitless and wasteful expenditure. You cannot allow a situation where you have a situation like that. And then the second one is with regard to this other one that I said they are ongoing. It's RL Helden, if you look towards the bottom end of the page, the first page, ongoing, SPL, Dipuko, and the other one is PR Moncho. They are ongoing. And then, but when you look at the period of suspension, you have said it's 2 months, 2 months. But if you are to count, for instance, in the case of Pele, from 9 July 2009 up to today, it's 16 months. Also, the other one for August, if you are to check, it's almost 15 months. We want to be these things to be explained. What does this really mean? Because now, on the period of suspension, you are saying it's 2 months, 2 months, but here you are saying it's ongoing. Are these people still on suspension, or their suspension has been uplifted, and then it means that their DCE are continuing while they have resumed their responsibility? Those are the questions that I need to be answered. And also with regard to the financial implications thereof, because, I mean, unless if there is a good ground for justification, how do you suspend a person for almost 19 months? Even though I understand that there are these long legal processes, I think somewhere, somehow, some people must take accountability on this one. The second one is on page 113 of the annual report. It's a follow-up question. I remember the issue that we addressed was with regard to 1-2 million and 1-2.5. What about the rest of the cases? In your report, like you indicated when you presented the annual report, most of them were saying no action required. Now there's a report. Can we maybe be taken on board? You deal with each case as from 1 to 14. Don't single out and tell us what is the status quo on all those cases, one by one.
Honorable Michael.
Chief, sorry, I just forgot to ask something. Dalian Pofo, it says SABC board to elaborate. It says he was suspended on the 7th of May 08 until settlement in August 09. His average salary during the period of suspension was 2.684 million and some rands and cents. Suspended for a period of 16 months. Chair, maybe the board would elaborate. And also, the settlement, I'm assuming that the settlement was up and, you know, above and beyond the 2.6 million that he earned during his suspension period.
You see, before you respond, let me ask this. Can someone check the annual report? You see, this matter is coming for the third time now in the committee. Can someone just check the annual report and just go through those cases once and for all? We don't want to raise it again when you come here. Just to take them through, I know that the matter has been coming now and time and again. But if you can just be patient, someone, just take us through so that we deal once and for all with the annual report cases, and then we also deal with the other questions which have just come up now.
Chair, I know we shouldn't raise points of order, but I, in fact, did deal with all of these cases earlier.
Can you just remind the member?
Okay, I'll go through them again, Chair.
What you can say is that quote the number there, and then, because I think initially when we dealt with, I remember, but we could not locate which one we are dealing with at the point. If you can just indicate this case and so on and so on, then you go down so that we can just get out of that particular issue.
Raise the point of order, we are correct.
Thank you.
We are still checking.
Maybe someone can respond on the other. Mr. Gill. Okay, I think Chairperson, as I did say that when we came, there were a number of suspensions which we were able, working together with Group HR, to deal with and reduce. As it stands, as of September, the report that we received from HR is that the only 2009 related suspensions that we still have, others are new, started in 2010. I think if this one has not been resolved between September and now, is Mr. Tulo Silo from Free State News and Mr. Rapita Monso, the one that was mentioned by the honorable member. And those matters, the Tulo Silo matter is at the CCMA as we speak, and we don't have control of when do CCMA conclude their matters. And Mr. Rapita matter is handled by the SABC lawyers and his lawyers, and they were going to meet and decide on the way forward, and we haven't received the latest report. The reason that was given to the subcommittee by Group HR was, as I said, firstly, is the issue of the disciplinary procedure that is cumbersome in dealing with the matters. And as a board, we've just said that we've asked them to develop a new disciplinary procedure that will make it quick to resolve the matters. But secondly, is the issue that I said some senior managers were not very cooperative with Group HR when they were approached to come and be chairpersons and be panelists. Because remember, I said the disciplinary procedure in SABC as it stands, it has a chair and three other panelists who must sit. So it's always a problem to find four people to come and sit and listen to a hearing. And some of these people have to fly from regions. I mean, mainly SABC HR has been using some regional managers to fly others, flying from Eastern Cape to come and help in chairing hearings, when there are managers in Auckland Park who are not coming forward to agree to chair hearings. So those are issues that we have asked the management to deal with and address very quickly, so that we have enough managers who are trained, who are competent to chair hearings, and so that when the new policy comes and is approved by the board, we cannot take more than 30 days to complete hearings, and it will be only on exceptional cases where the case goes more than 30 days. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Ntamt, you raised the issue of the flyer. Are you covered on the flyer?
The other one, I needed a commitment. You see, there are senior managers who are responsible for this. Yes, I understand that issues of the CCMA, something beyond the board's control. But I wanted the reasons, the circumstances that led to a person to be suspended for 39 months. Because in that particular case, there was no explanation of the CCMA dragging the matter. That means internal processes, to me, the way I look at the paper, to me is that unless it said that it included CCMA matters, these were only purely at the internal matters as far as I'm concerned. That's why I raised the issue here, disciplinary code and procedure, because I've gone through the SABC disciplinary code and procedure. It's very clear what managers need to do. Secondly, still, we are seated with the situation here wherein you are seeing monies have been paid to people who were seated at home doing nothing. What's going to be done? Because this is a fruitless and wasteful expenditure, as far as I'm concerned. So I didn't get any answer to that.
You see, Mr. Kina, maybe what you need to help us, just to make an example, a person is going to unauthorized industrial action, why do you suspend such a person? I'm just making one example. It's an industrial action, unauthorized. You suspend the person for 13 months.
What exactly? I think the issue is that you have responded. Because I hope, if I hear you correctly, you are saying most of these cases now have been resolved, except the two which we are talking about. One is CCMA, and the other one, they are...
Yes, I'm leaving out those that have happened in 2010. The two that I mentioned are those suspensions that happened in 2009, which fall into the category of the honourable member's question of people suspended for a long time. But there has been other new suspensions, and their matters are dealt with expeditiously. As I said, the matter of the former acting CEO, Mr. Mamboni, is actually sitting this week as we speak, and we hope for it to be concluded very soon. The disciplinaries that were raised in commercial enterprises, you've got people who have already left the organization because disciplinaries took place very quickly after that, and they were concluded.
You see, the issue is there is one manager here with people unauthorized industrial action suspended for 13 months to go on strike. It's got nothing to do with fraud or other things to which the person might not come back and so on and so on. That's industrial action for 13 months. Quite a few of them are on the list. I think the question, I understand that most of those issues we are saying they've been resolved. But I think the issue because it's posed is the reasoning behind why to suspend the person who was engaged on that action for 13 months for that matter. Because there is one manager, and if you look at the heart of the question the member is raising, which is not indicating, what action have you taken against this manager? Because you see, you've got one manager with quite a number of people. So that manager is clear that he does not want to do anything around the issue. One manager, if you look at the list. But what has happened, I understand that might have happened before your time. But you see the problem is that maybe you are not giving the comprehensive report so that we understand that this thing has happened at this particular point. What are you trying to do as a current board and so on, so that we are able to draw the line, because we don't have to ask you certain things which happened which you cannot account on the actual events and so on. So if you can help around that, because I'm looking to one manager here for people going to industrial action suspended for 13 months, almost a year, and a month sitting at home doing nothing and so on. But can you just assist us to understand and clarify the issues? Because the question is around that moving forward. You have indicated that you are changing the policy to ensure, but she's saying she has read the policy. In fact, even as we speak, there was no opportunity for a manager to refuse not to take an action. It's not necessary that we are reviewing the policy because currently they've got a choice not to. But even currently they don't have a choice, but anyway they've done it. Now how do you balance those particular issues? And so I think that's at the heart of the question. Because clearly this manager seemingly they're violating your current policy. As it stands now, because you didn't give a choice whether you have to agree or not. As a manager, you are responsible for the discipline in your section and so on, which didn't happen and so on. So the review of the policy, you might or might not, but the issue is how do you enforce the implementation or adherence to the policy? That's at the core of the question so that you don't see it continue moving forward.
Chairperson, thank you very much. As I said, we've been able to address a lot of suspensions, which also when I wear my other cap of being a trade unionist, I find them to be strange. And the HR team has really come into the party in terms of ensuring, of reviewing all those suspensions that did not make sense in terms of the law, and they were addressed, as I said. And there have been changes in HR. I think you should realize that when we came in, we found that there is an acting GE because the other lady who was the GE HR left during, I think, the Mkonza board, if I'm not mistaken. And so we have an acting GE in that position in the name of Mr. Ron Morobe, and who's been trying his level best. But one of the
One of the things that we picked up in one of the first meetings where the executives were addressing the board, this issue of the dotted line and the solid line, the reporting line, we found that as a board there's been a problem of decentralization of powers, where, for example, the chief people officer was saying the people that, because you've got departments in SABC, they've got general managers, HR. So those general managers, HR, in terms of the legal knowledge that we had when we came to the board, we thought that they have a solid line to the chief people officer or to the GE, HR, only to discover that they've got a dotted line to the overall HR person and a solid line to the GE in that department. So, which means that if I'm a GE PBS and I want somebody suspended, I actually instruct the HR, who's got a solid line to me, who can't say no, but in terms of the law, you can't do it. So, which was a challenge, which also in our committee meetings, the CPO agreed with us that maybe that should change, that these people should actually seek authority from the overall HR person in terms of suspensions. It can't be because the GE feels that that particular person should be suspended, and therefore the HR general manager in the department should just facilitate for the suspension to happen. There should still be issues that relate to the law, whether in terms of the labor law, in terms of the policies, this person should be suspended. And so far, since we've had that discussions, we've not seen those kinds of suspensions that could not really be explained. And we do all these things mindful of the fact that there's been accusations that we're micromanaging. So you should also understand as a portfolio committee that some of the things we can't go to that level because a question of you seem to be micromanaging us up now will be raised, sometimes legitimately so. Because in terms of the articles, we've got levels of managers that we are responsible for. I mean, especially those that, like, for example, if a position of a general manager is created, the board needs to be informed, but the board does not have to be part of the appointment and everything. The GE, yes, the board needs to be involved. So especially those positions where, as a board, by law, we are required to play a role, I think we are able to play a closer role, but when it goes further down, unfortunately, we are obliged to listen to what managers say, and we can only advise only when the matters are brought to us. Thank you very much.
Before the follow-up from Honorable Ntam, you see, Mr. King, we are presenting a problem. You want to tell us that these things will continue because as a board you've got some walls because of the way SABC is structured. Because you see, I'm raising that issue because at the core of the question is that as we speak, are still these managers choosing whether to instill discipline or not? That's the heart of the question. As we speak now, do we have those managers still making an option that will fly people from wherever, from the region, to come to Auckland Park where managers are just sitting there, not want to instill discipline? That's the issue. What is the status quo? The issue of the world that you are micromanaging, I'm sure you can instill this thing and make sure it's happening without micromanaging. Because those who are reporting to you as a board must take the flag. If things are not happening, unless if you are playing yourself, you are not focusing. But I'm saying, see, you can't say you've got a wall. Because that wall, there is a linkage between yourself as a board and that wall. And that wall needs to be break, not necessarily by micromanaging. We can't say you must do that, but it fly against your corporate governance issues and so on. But those who are reporting to you, who are responsible to instill these issues that they does happen, discipline prevailing the SABC, what are you doing about them? Let's leave those, but what are you doing about those who are supposed to take to make sure that actions are happening? I think that's the issue, but it's a matter which we are trying to explain. I don't think you can give more explanation. You have explained the circumstances. But we are saying next time when you come here, don't tell us about the war. We have appointed you as a board to appoint you to act there are people who are reporting to you, those people must act because they've got key performance indicators which they must make sure that they comply with. So don't, next time, don't just raise the issue of the world. You don't want to hear about the world and so on. Honorable Mutambi?
You covered me partially. Maybe we posed the question to the wrong person. We should have posed it to the group CEO then. Yeah, but nevertheless, I think you read it nicely. And then on this issue of the three ongoing court cases, you indicated of one that is at the CCMA. Of the, I believe it's the one on the second page of Monjo. What about these other two on the third pages, of which the responsible manager is Mr. Philip Mulif, that involves 46 and 35? Because they are ongoing, but you have given a report that they have been resolved. But in terms of this report, Espele and Dipoko, to July 2009, to both ongoing. There are two. They are ongoing. And then that again brings me that question of to say now, if they are ongoing, the issue of the period of suspension, because as far as we are concerned, 9 July up to today, 16 months. What's happening?
Can you repeat the name?
In your page, first page. Espele. I think it's the, if you read it from the, and the Dipuk. And Helden Hayes.
There are those three cases on the flyer which is written ongoing. But if you look at 10 July 2009, we have put only 2 months. 10 July 2009, we have put 2 months. On the second page, there's another one, 4 August, towards the end, PR Monto, August 2009, but ongoing. So those are the three cases are ongoing or they've been concluded and so on. But on your report, is ongoing. If you look, the period and the number of the month which are put there in suspension, they don't talk to each other and so on. But if you want to verify facts, maybe you can concur doing that once you are taken through the annual report cases.
Okay, I can just say that I've been briefed that these people were actually, there is a recommendation that they be dismissed, but they have appealed last week against those sanctions. And it's a pity that on the other report, they were not there. The Helen Hayes, I think it was not part of the cases that were always brought to my attention in terms of monitoring the cases. So I'll not be able, unless the acting CCO clarifies that one. Okay, he says it's back at work. And the issue of Mr. Monso Rapitsi, maybe I should say, what happened is that the case started with an internal chairperson, one of the managers in SABC. And during the case, I think there were a number of things that were raised during the case itself, such that the chairperson of the hearing actually withdrew from chairing the hearing. So that then put SABC into a challenge of how do we proceed now, because the case had already started, it was proceeding, because of the things that were said in the hearing. The chairperson felt that he was not comfortable. Just to say it, the report that I got is that the chairperson was a white manager who was told during the hearing that he's racist. And on the basis of that, he then felt that he was not going to be comfortable to continue to chair the hearing. And that then made HR to think of sending the matter to CCMA as a pre-arbitration matter. And I think the accused was resisting that process. And then SABC decided to then say maybe the lawyers of SABC should deal with the matter. Dealing with the lawyers that represented the accused. So if there was no accusation in the hearing itself, this matter could have been resolved long time ago. As to why then SABC did not find another chairperson, it's an issue for management, which I have not received a proper response. Why then couldn't you get another chairperson to chair the hearing? Why outsource? But I just feel that at the time they felt that maybe for fairness and everything, maybe outsourcing the hearing will help them. But I know that the prosecutor in the hearing is still an internal SABC person, and I don't know when the matter will be concluded. But it's one matter that is not an easy matter. It involves the archives of the first president of the country, Nelson Mandela, and it's the archives that SABC needs to use. And because this case is still pending, apparently some of it, even SABC does not have access. And we know that we're leading up to an important time in the organization where the first president of the country belonged to, where they'll be celebrating a centenary. And it's possible that some of that archives will be required to be aired. And that is why we are taking this matter serious, and we want to see it being concluded very soon. And it's a priority matter for us. Thank you.
Is there any questions?
Okay, to deal with the ones where there is no action required. The first one for 2 million rand was, the second one and the third one were all the same instance, where we had a contract with Branco Sports Productions for the production of boxing, and there was an overarching value of 23 million rand per annum for 3 years. The individual fights, however, didn't have a broadcast business case. So there's supposed to be a separate business case each time a fight was produced. And on that basis, Group Internal Audit made recommendations on how to deal with Branco's contract in particular, and that a DC was not justified because the employee had believed validly that a contract was in place, but that a business case had not been developed. And that covered the first three chair. Then there was another one for 1665, 180, for Channel 2 Group Corporation, which was also the acquisition of sports rights, where the officer left the employment on 10th of April 2009, and no further action was taken. Then there was an amount of 2028 where disciplinary action is required, and that I think is one of those cases which has been concluded. It was a production that was started without a contract. Then there were some that where no action was required, and that's these three are for 1774. The contract was broadcast without a fully signed contract. There was an overarching contract for a content acquisition deal. The legal department signature is required, and that hadn't been acquired. The contractual obligation is a consequence of the international offices extended to distributors in 2008 and 2009. And those were 1774, 224 for a company called Seed, for a number of movies called The Painting and others. Then there was one for WVI Films, which is part of the CBS group in the US, for Judge Joe Brown for 3027 270. And then there were various titles that were acquired from a company called Red Carpet for Bollywood content of 2795 142. So those three, Chair, all were covered by existing distribution contracts, but the contract was not signed by legal. And the rest, Chair, we've all got corrective action taken against them.
Honorable Mthambi?
Yes, I've heard the report, but the question is, you've raised the issue of the contract not signed, it was later signed, and these are the issues which the AG picks as contravention of the Public Finance Management Act.
That's correct.
So after that,
do you take corrective measures? Because managers are there to comply with the prescripts. Do you take remedial action for people who don't comply, who opt to contravene the act? Because those are generic for a person to comply with the legislation. How do you allow a situation wherein people start to implement a contract that is not signed and the AG has to pick it up? What's wrong with our internal system then, such that an external person has to come and pick it up?
Yeah, I mean, this came through as well as broader AG issues where people didn't understand the procurement processes. This thing about payment without contract still does come through from time to time for authorization by the CFO. In all cases, we require that some form of disciplinary action is taken. There can be extenuating circumstances, particularly in news where they've had to bring a freelancer in or someone didn't arrive for a shift where there isn't a freelance contract in place, but they are the exception.
Honorable Michael, before. Kilian, you're on the floor.
Thank you, Chair. There's quite a number of years difference. Thank you. Chair, can I just say, I wanted to ask the question is, are any of these on the leaflet referred to in the annual report, or is it completely different cases? Why I'm asking that, just wanted to make sure that we treat all transgressions the same. It is very important that if a person is transgressing the TFMA, everybody must know it's a no-no, it's a cultural thing that we're establishing of accountability right through. So that we don't say that in some cases there will be no action required, but in other cases there will be, and it becomes long protracted instances. So I just need clarity on that. And secondly, I just wanted to make a comment generally to say, I do believe that as the AG so aptly described in a report about all the communication entities, they referred to the tone at the top, which is one that is necessary to be one of accountability and consequence for failure. I think it's a new culture that needs to be established. And these long protracted instances that Honorable Mr. Ginner has referred to, I think we should really see an end to this and very close management by the SABC board about this, because this is not a silo instance. This is not only a human resource matter. This is a risk matter as well. This is a financial matter, because it's finances that is being wasted, people who are out on suspension for so many months and yet they receive the monies. So I think we should really change the attitude towards this. It is not a question of micromanaging. It's a question of ensuring effective use of resources. And I do believe that we will have regular reports on how do we deal with DC matters as an institution. So I just want to make sure that we are treating everybody the same, and if any of these are also the cases involved in the annual report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Killen. Honorable Makazi, before we can just come up so that we can go for lunch. Honorable Makazi.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I don't want to buy the story that the acting CEO, the answer that he has just given, that people don't understand the procurement of SABC. And if people don't understand the procurement procedures, I think, Chair, I don't know how the SABC actually internal, how is it structured. But the experience, the final signature
if it's the department, it will be, in fact, it differs. If it's a big, let me say a big project, obviously the DG will do the final signature. If it's a sub-branch project, yes, DDGs and chief directors, you have that right to sign. But a middle manager, the procurement processes, you will have to verify it. If you have followed the procedure, then you will get the final signature, which allows you now, you can tender. So what I'm saying, I don't want to buy this story. Then that means people, they just, yes, of course, we are human beings. People, they can just, you know, play as if they don't know procurement. And yet you'll find that people, they have agendas. So I want us to dismiss that people, they don't understand procurement procedures. They do check. But there is something that it's not all right. It's either managers who are responsible for managing those people, they are also negligent and ignorant. And what I'm saying now, Chairperson, I think the acting CEO, he has to get his act together and be very strict. When it comes to procurement, nothing should pass under his nose without checking if people have procured procedurally, everything is fine. Thanks.
Mr. Golding? I just wanted to, in fact, to pick up on this issue about contracts without payment. It's an old cancer that has been there at SABC. I think in the previous board, we debated it a lot, and we took hard decisions around it. We said contracts, well, according of services without a contract, it's not only bad financial management, but it also impacts on the cash flow of the business, because invoices just keep popping out. You don't even know who, in fact, you're indebted to. And the board took decisions that there shall be no contracts, or there shall not be services without contracts. Should there be any employee that, in fact, transgress that particular resolution, disciplinary action must be taken against that particular employee. And where possible, personal recoveries must actually accrue to that particular employee. So what I'm saying is that there has been a board decision, Chair, I think, previously. The only thing that I think we need to evaluate is it whether it has been adhered to, you know? And I think we'll make that particular commitment here to say that we'll evaluate that particular kind of a misconduct is still continuing, and we'll act accordingly. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much. I would appeal that maybe what needs to happen is that on the issue of the outstanding disciplinary cases, if you can just give us the report of the outstanding and where they are, a clear report so that we understand where they are. We understand the one which we have already closed, and so we don't want the list. Just to know the one outstanding moving forward, so that we were able to measure your success. As we are saying, moving forward, we are dealing with these issues. We don't want the other one. If you have passed, it's fine. We have closed them and so on. But the second issue, you see, the problem here, I would think that at one point we have tried to clarify this matter. That yourself, Dr. Ngubane, the chairperson of the board and the board members, we are going to hold you accountable for whatever happened in that corporation. If you decide to say there are walls, we don't have walls here between ourselves and you as a board. We will deal with the issues as they confront us with you as a board. I think we need to clarify that and emphasize. And again, we're not giving you a license to go and macro-manage the corporation, where board members will wake up in the morning and decide to go to SABC and start to give instruction and so on. We're not saying that. But we're saying those who are accountable to you, you must be able to ensure that they carry the instruction for the decision of the board. I'm sure the executive must start to understand that sanity needs to prevail in that corporation. And the only way sanity can prevail is when you take decisive action without fear or favor. No one's above the corporation. The authority lies with you as a board. So if you come in the future and try to explain how are you frustrated and so on, you might not understand what you are saying. And we don't have the ears. We have no ears to hear what we will be saying about that. All the 8 years we have is that if that happens, what action have you taken? Decisive action and deal. So that you bring the culture of responsibility and accountability there. So you can't deal with the disciplinary cases the way they've been dealt with. Managers refusing to share and other things and so on. It flies in the face of your authority as a board, whether you are in charge or somewhere other people are in charge of that corporation and so on. So we don't have to repeat that. We've been saying that time and time again. But I'm just raising that because it's under the disciplinary cases where you build a culture of an organization in terms of taking decisive action and so on and so on. So we hope that moving forward, there will be improvement. We know human beings need time to transform and so on, but there are other clear-cut issues where you need to take action before people can realize that there is a new culture here in the organization which needs to be followed. It's not business as usual. With that, members will be coming back to continue the Auditor General's report and the other remaining issues around half past two so that we can have a break. We'll continue half past two for our lunch. I'm aware of the time that might be seems to be too much, but Honorable Muruto has told me that, you know what, I'm sick and tired of this committee which treat us like 30 minutes lunch and so on. I need time to eat and relax and so on. So I'm complying with that request. Thank you very much. We'll meet.
We have, what time is it?
2:30.
Oh, wow.